Want to participate in a Don and Mike Show contest? How about this? You or a member of your household can only win once for 60 days. You must comply with any age limitations for each contest. For complete contest rules, send a self-addressed stamp envelope to the mighty WJFK, P.O. Box 3649, Washington, D.C. 20007. Thank you, and God bless.
Don and Mike, there'll be no mollycoddling.
Will you see if your mom can give my resume to Dennis Phillips? Because if I could get in a Broadway show, then I would have done it all. Film, television, and theater.
The only thing left to be radio. That's just for ugly people.
Let's go ahead and take a call from Rob, listening in Virginia. Hello, Rob.
How are you, gentlemen?
Fine. Thanks for calling. Go ahead.
I just wanted to relate what it was like. I'm 25 years old, and I was born and raised in New York City. And I went to New York City public school, and while attending public school, I was attending catechism to make my communion and then my confirmation. And the way I was raised was to ask questions and to explore different theories, if you will.
Sure.
And as I'm attending catechism, learning the theories behind creationism, when I personally believe that with creationism and through the evolution of however man may turn out, I believe that we're all going to become BM eaters on the Don and Mike Show.
Well, I'll tell you what. I appreciate so much what you've tried to share with us.
Stay tuned for your shot at Big Bucks. Secret Sound, only on the Don and Mike Show.
This episode deals with the inappropriateness of racial invectives and contains coarse racial slurs. Your discretion is advised.
Everybody loves Don and Mike.
Hey, kids, could I talk to you for about 30 seconds? This is Elvis Presley. I ask you to listen. Now, here's a song.
And yes, the rumors are true. They smoke, they drink, they use bad language in mixed company. They're extremely rich and they can flash more bling than most posses in this room. Rock stars they are, and God bless them for that.
You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you.
Sounds like somebody's got a case of the Mondays.
Don, Mike, both of you, idiots.
Up to that point, Jerry had concealed his Percodan dependence.
I walk out with Michael, and I collapse in the hallway. And blood came from every opening I had. Eyes, nose, ears, name it. Blood flow like a damn dike opened up. What had happened was that the Percodan was concealing the pain of a grapefruit ulcer. They had me in surgery like in 20 minutes. I was bleeding to death.
I want to do something meaningful with my life, Maury. I have deeper thoughts on my mind. The other day, I was thinking about volunteering to help teach underprivileged children to learn how to read. And just thinking about it was the most rewarding experience I've ever had.
Derek, I don't think you're cut out for that kind of thing.
I mean, maybe I could even have my own institute. We could call it the Derek Zoolander Center for Kids Who Can't Read. Good.
You've got 4 minutes to get Sabian here. Well, you'll
let's go to Chuck in Gainesville, Virginia. Chuck, what say you?
Hey, Bill, how you doing?
Good.
For you. I just have a whole issue with this Jessica situation where people need to get to the point, get to the facts, and start questioning the right people, which is her. And I think you make a very good and valid point. And what's going on in Bush's mind, I don't think any of us are going to completely know. And the two people who really know what's going on with Bush would be Don and Mike. A lot of Bush.
Don and Mike, right? I'm delirious here. Our affiliate in Washington, D.C., WJFK. How can I forget that? Don and Mike are the afternoon guys.
Why, you dummy.
Don't you dare hit me in the head. You know I'm not normal. See that?
Well, why don't you do things right?
You all need to listen to your lady. You need to say to her, baby, what is it that you want? Or, do you want to do it in the butt? No? Okay, well, let's move on to something else.
Don't get me stuck with that bitch.
She got a great ass! And you got your head all the way up it!
Jesus.
Ferocious, aren't I? When I think of asses, woman's ass, something comes out of it.
He asked for saving.
Larry, this is Inspector Merriweather of the U.S. Customs Service, Mr. Larry Sanders.
Yes. Sorry to have to bother you like this, Mr. Sanders.
Oh, it's not a bother at all. We love to have members of our federal government stop by. Last year, we had the Secretary of Agriculture on the show.
Right. Maybe you know him. Nice guy.
No, sir. I'm afraid I don't.
That's too bad he's under investigation. Nice fellow. Big laugher.
Are these your cigars, Mr. Sanders?
What the hell is this, jabberdam witch hunt?
No, sir. I'm doing my job. This is a very serious matter. Importing Cuban cigars is a criminal offense.
Well, I can assure you that Mr. Sanders is not a criminal.
That may be. But I'm not leaving here until I find out where these cigars came from.
All right. I think in that case, we shouldn't say another word until we have a lawyer present. Right, Larry?
Hank gave them to me.
Hi.
Okay.
Hi, Don and Mike.
We appreciate it.
Thank you.
Hi. Welcome to our show.
Hey, Don and Mike. Lord, you don't know could fill a book.
It's the Don and Mike show, and they'll say what they wish.
Now, I know everybody's caught off guard by the music.
Yeah.
This is Rob Zombie, and I've heard this during the Fox NFL Sunday, like the last 5 years.
That's where I knew it was from somewhere.
They always do it where they say, like, the in-game thing.
Right.
And don't forget, next weekend on Fox, it's a doubleheader with San Francisco playing Houston.
Yeah, I've heard it. It has a sports thing.
Anyway, I finally figured out what song it is.
So I guess that means your little friends won't be coming in today.
Oh, no. They brought the song.
Oh, son of a...
Hi, guys.
In a true story, he was a neo-Nazi with one true enemy. Himself, a man of faith, a man of hate, and a soul torn apart. Viewer discretion advised.
Rob, hi, Rob. Sorry.
Beans! And good afternoon, Mr. and Mrs. Robert Zombie and all the ships at sea. Well, perhaps you remember them as the guys yesterday in the Hawaiian shirt.
Yeah.
Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
Hi, and thank you for listening, everybody. Don and Mike show new episode of Rabbit, Rabbit, Rabbit on this Monday. June Carter Cash. Tooth. You know, instead of second tooth.
How could I forget? Only 20 days to my birth.
What is your birthday? The 22nd?
Yes, sir.
Gotcha.
How you do it, Buzz.
That's how
you do it. When the month begins, you drop your first hint.
Got it.
Phone number from anywhere in America, 877-365-3636. From Canada, 800-636-1067. D.C. 202-432-1067.
Hi, Don and Mike. Buzz Burbank here.
Howdy there, Buzz. And let me see. I got all the tapes, I think.
Is anyone listening?
Right. Where's Shut Up?
Shut Up!
There you go.
Hey, what happened?
And finally...
Someone called for a doctor?
There you go.
Well, that thing kind of ends fast, doesn't it?
It does.
Well, there you go. That's the music and high. And I am just sick as a dog.
You don't sound well.
You don't sound well. You sounded bad at your party yesterday.
I got it from my wife.
She had it bad last week.
You know what that means? You know what that means? That means I'm gonna get it like in 3 days.
Well, I don't know. I think really, and I should have thought about this yesterday.
And it's a long laster, isn't it? Because your wife's had it for like 3 months.
Yeah. The person who probably is gonna get it, and I should have thought of this. Is Rob's son.
Well, no. You know what?
I had Tripp with me. We had a party yesterday at my house for my kid's graduation.
Right.
And I had Tripp, my godson, with me all day. And I'm kissing the top of his head all day.
Right.
And going, oh, who's my boy? Who's my... And about 40 minutes into it, my mother-in-law pulled me aside and said, you're sick. You shouldn't be kissing a baby.
When he got the throat, the nose.
Yeah.
The whole
thing.
Well, you know, Frida is blaming Carrie and saying that our kids were the carriers that made Frida sick. So it may That's what people do. When people get ill, you always trace it to others and people with kids.
Yeah. Then perhaps your son won't get it if your son originally gave it to your wife and your wife gave it to my wife and my wife has given it to me.
Could be. I think the only person left would be Mike.
Yeah, then Robbie, you're probably immune from it.
Oh, I had it last week. Remember, I had the SARS.
Right.
Oh, that's right.
SARS!
Buzz, you...
So you only had a couple of days of it.
I'm good.
You never get nothing, Buzz.
Not
you're
always so.
Okay.
I think I'll be all right.
Because Buzz
in
works...
my bubble.
Buzz works in a bubble.
Right.
He works
I get everything.
A separate room.
Yeah.
So hi, and welcome to the show.
Well, you were a trooper to throw that little shit
in
while you
great.
Were ill.
Well, my son is only going to graduate high school one time, and we had a party. We're going to get to that in just a second.
And before we get done with anything here, I want to say to my daughter, Catherine, who had her adenoids removed and had new tubes put in her ears, I love you, and I know she's not listening. I just want everybody to know how much I love her.
Yeah.
Because she had that procedure done this morning, and she's doing great, and I'm very, very... She's very much on my mind today, and will be all day. I just... she's so brave. I mean, she's wonderful, and I hope she's doing well.
And it was nice to have your kids out yesterday.
It was very nice. They were running around, and they got the configuration of your property almost gave me a fatal heart attack. Yeah. When I was leaving, and they decided that they were going to, they had a method of going full scale all around your house, and they did it not three, and not four, six times total.
Around the whole house?
Around the whole house, and then I look and I see my daughter Elizabeth down in your driveway, and my daughter Catherine, like, in one part of your house, and it was a nice little shindig you had.
We have lots of stories about yesterday to get to.
Yes, we do.
And I've got the saga of my life. And I mean, not my life, not my good life. The saga of my bad life will continue.
Oh dear!
You know, with the other people, with the adoptive stuff.
Oh,
I got another new saga, and I'm at a loss as to what to do.
Hmm.
But I won't bring you down with that right now. Let's start today with a trip. I want everybody to get out a piece of paper and a number two lead pencil.
Oh boy!
Because it's story time.
Yeah. Very good.
And here's what we're giving away today. As a matter of fact, we're giving this away every day this week. Today we're going to do story time. And you know how this works. You write down a word at a time.
Mm-hmm.
And you folks who are listening to the program right now, well, you're in the driver's seat because sometime before the show is over, why are you looking at me funny, Buzz?
It's not about you. No, I know.
But it's about someone you love.
Okay, very good.
The story.
Feeling guilty?
Oh, not in the
least. Okay, okay, good.
Why should I feel guilty?
I don't know. You just asked about the look, and you said it's someone I know. So.
No, it's someone you love.
Okay.
Someone you know and someone you love.
Mm.
Someone that was at our house yesterday.
Mm.
Someone who showed us her tattoo yesterday.
Ah, yes.
Both of us.
Yes.
The trip.
And everyone else who would look.
That we're going to be giving away today. We're doing it all this week. Vacations for two to Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. Two-night, three-day stay at the Ocean Creek Resort.
Oh.
Courtesy of Hooters Air.
Oh, man. Who doesn't want to fly that airline?
Wow. With Hooters girls on every flight.
Who doesn't want to fly that airline?
Call 1-888-FLY-HOOT. So.
And what pilots make wings.
What you want to do is get out a pencil and a piece of paper. We're going to write a story. And every once in a while during the show, at times when you wouldn't expect it, we'll just stop and say, let's add a couple of words to the story.
Mm-hmm.
When we say stop, you call in, be the 100th caller, read us the entire story, and you win today's trip to Myrtle Beach from Hooters Air.
All right.
Now, part of the party yesterday at my home included a moment for Mike and I, alone in my kitchen.
It was my second go-round.
With Buzz's wife, Marcia.
Mm-hmm.
When I was walking through, and she said, hey, mister. And I said, yes. And she said, I understand you didn't see enough of my tattoo. You remember, I don't know, like a couple of months ago, Buzz and Marcia came down to the beach and
you guys all had sex.
No, didn't have sex, but Marcia did show Frida and I her tattoo.
Oh, Frida and Marcia had sex.
They always have sex.
Right. And you and Buzz just hung out.
Yeah. And watched.
Yeah.
And videotaped, as always. So she says, I understand you didn't see enough of my tattoo. And now, who am I? I'm not going to turn this down. I said,
right.
No, I didn't see enough. Mm-hmm. And Mike is there, and she said, would you like to see it again?
Mm-hmm.
I said, sure. So
this is about 20 minutes after she'd showed it to me for the first time ever, and I hadn't said a word about it. She said, would you like to see my tattoo?
Now,
like right out of the blue.
Yeah. Now, Buzz, you're the husband, so you describe exactly where Marcia's tattoo is located, and we'll tell you that we didn't see any pussy
No. But it's pretty close, because if she were wearing, say, a bikini bottom, it would be hidden by that. So it's in that neighborhood.
Well, then,
up front.
If I can just say that when she showed me the tattoo, there was plenty of clearance to see it.
Well, I think that, you know, and I don't want to ask, but Marcia must be very cleanly cropped.
Yes.
Is the polite way of putting
it.
That
would be the polite way to put it, yes.
Because she undid her pants and
proudly.
Hey, are we telling the story, or are we going to write it?
Oh, no, hold on. We're going to just want everyone to know
the setup,
why we're writing it.
Right.
That she unbuttoned her pants and just unzipped them and pulled down or pulled up her underpants.
I think she pulled them down.
Yeah. Down and away.
She pulled them down and away.
Down and away. And this music played.
And both Mike and I were standing in the kitchen looking at Buzz's wife's tattoo of a rose.
On the top of the PB.
At the what?
The top of the PB.
Oh, the pelvic bone.
Yes.
No.
No.
The pubic bone.
Oh, the pussy bone.
Right in that neighborhood. Yes.
Yeah, that's
right. Very
that's
close.
That's kind of in the
right next door.
It's a lovely tattoo.
It's nice.
It's very nice.
Thank you.
Nicer than yours, as I think I said at the party.
Well, if you think so.
And right after that, you started asking everybody for dollar bills.
Yeah, well, you know.
So here's how today's story starts. Three words. Marcia's tattoo is dot, dot, dot. Marcia's tattoo is dot, dot, dot. Now, fellas, use discretion. We're talking about our pal's wife.
Yeah, come on now. We can't get totally out of hand.
Well, we can get a little out of hand.
A little.
And I'll start. Sensual. Mike.
And
Buzz.
Alluring.
Okay. I definitely have a direction that I want to go on this. That kind of moves away from Marcia and moves back towards Buzz.
Very good.
Naturally.
Naturally.
Those are the first three.
So actually, your first six words, gave you the first three. Marcia's tattoo is sensual and alluring.
And my one knock is that we always end sentences in the first three words. I always hate that. I always wish we could, like, start a sentence. And that's just for the next time we play this game, for you in particular, Buzz, when we're playing.
Right.
Let's not make it so we end a sentence, because you could end it right there.
You could end it
Marcia's
there.
Marcia's tattoo is sensual as link. Thank you. Good night. You know,
or you could keep going.
See, if I'd had the first word, I was going to say located.
Well, yeah. We can get there.
I thought of that, too.
But we covered that, so it didn't really matter.
Don and Mike.
Don.
Yeah.
This is Tim in the San Francisco Bay. Hey, you needed to talk a lot slower. I mean, no disrespect to Buzz, but that was a great beach towel story, and you just kind of blew right through it.
Oh, listen, we're going to fully cover that.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Stay tuned.
The party.
Anything new on the Sacramento meet and greet?
Sacramento? Oh, yeah. Rob and I will be there.
19th.
July 19th.
July 19th.
Cool, because I've put off booking the non-DJ band just so I could make sure I make the road trip up there from the Bay. So.
That's it. Robbie and I have got our tickets.
Stay tuned to the mighty KHTK for further details.
We'll be there on Saturday, July 19th.
Great. I'm making a week of it. I think you're only staying for the weekend, right?
We're bringing presents.
Thank you, my friend. We'll see you there.
See how much fun you're going to have out there?
We will, Mike.
I know you will.
We really will. So, goddamn, I hate being sick. I really do. It's
hard. I hate it when you're sick.
It sucks ass. So, listen, let me get this thing out of the way, because this is easier than going to therapy. And then we can move on to all the great stuff. We got the party and everybody that was at the party. I got a call. Well, not actually a call. Friday night, I get home from work, and my wife says, a letter came for you, and I didn't think you should read it. I should read it to you while you were on the air.
Mm-hmm.
Well, fair enough. So I get the letter, and it's from a family member.
Mm-hmm.
Now, everybody knows the story of the whole twisted tale of me being adopted and my parents being nuts, my adopted parents being nuts, and my brother having to get a restraining order after them,
mm-hmm.
and them sending me my stuff in a box.
Yeah, very sad.
Oh, my throat is just friggin' killing me.
I know.
I don't think you're going to make it through this story.
Well, I better. I better make it not only through the story, but through the show.
However we can help.
Jesus Christ. So, here's the conundrum. I get a letter that says, my adoptive father, who I've been on the outs with,
mm-hmm.
who's had no contact with me for, I don't know, 12, 13, 14 years,
yeah.
has only seen my kid once, sent all of my stuff back to me in a box, and actually the last thing that I heard from this guy was a note about 7 years ago, just a little handwritten note mm-hmm. saying, you are not a member of this family.
Right.
So I get this letter saying he's in the hospital and that he's had a series of heart attacks and he's had strokes and he's lost feeling in the left part of his body. And no matter what you think of him, and it's always put back on me, no matter what you think of him, he loved you and he was a good father. Now, I read the letter and I thought, well, he's not dead.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and loved is written in the past tense. So I'm going round and round about what I should do about this. And Frieda says, well, you should ignore it. You know, come on, this is pretty much the deal that I've made with myself, is that I'm going to keep these people out of my lives because they're just nothing but heartache, nothing but pain. And we've tried to bend over backwards for many years to
accommodate. Yeah, and it really is a lot of a lot of hassle every time you have tried to make the effort. It seems that you end up getting your hand bitten, and
yeah.
you can only do that so many times. And it seems that the spin that they have with the other family members always seems to lay it back in your lap, which is really not all that fair either.
So, you know, and when this happens, I remember all of the stuff that was said, not even to me, but to other people, to my wife, you know, where my mother, my adopted mother, would say, well, they were just babies who nobody wanted. They're not our children. They were just babies nobody wanted. They're not of our genes.
Right.
It was basically what was said. So I'm stewing on this, and Frieda says, you know what we should do? We should just take the envelope and send it back. Not even respond. And finally I thought, and I said, no. Change of character for me. I'm going to try to be the bigger person.
Mm-hmm.
So I make the call to the relative, and I say, hey, it's me. And I'm keeping my anger way under control.
Good.
And I'm not getting emotional. I said, I got the note about Sam, and I'm concerned, and I'm curious.
Mm-hmm.
Why'd you send me the note?
So this is the family member that you contacted?
Yeah, who sent me the letter.
Right.
And I said, why'd you send me the letter? Said, just thought you should know. I said, okay, do you think I should fly to where he is? Do you think that I should come out there? No.
Hmm.
I said, okay, so the reason for the letter was, well, no matter what you thought about him, he loved you. And I said, well, I guess I loved him too. At some point, I loved him. And
well, that would have been a good way to end it right there.
Yeah, but it didn't end there. It didn't, because the other person started, and you know, once you get into this thing, and it's such a history, I won't bore everybody with the story over and over again, but it ends up that I'm on the defensive, and I'm saying, wait, if at any point either of them had told my brother or I we were adopted, we wouldn't have had a problem with it. But we had to find out about it through a third party, and even at that point, Sam and Fran, my adoptive parents, didn't want to address it. They went as far as putting all my baby stuff, all my high school stuff, my high school football letter, all that, put it in a box. And just sent it to me.
Disowning you.
As if to say, get out of our lives.
You know, and when that gesture alone, when you're talking about a parent doing something like that, when you think about that,
it really is on the parents, no matter what the circumstances are, because, I mean, that's when you're doing that, you're making a statement, and they have to atone for that.
So then at that point, and trust me, I'm not even looking for that. I'm so
But I mean, I'm saying if
far
you,
past
if
that.
If somebody's laying it on you to be the peacemaker, from what I know about everything you've told me, you know, on air and off air about what's this situation, it just seems to me that that's... That gesture alone is a way of, you know, saying, you know, here's the door. You know,
and I said to them, well, how does it look that you have two boys who could not be more different? My brother and I live totally different lives,
right.
Totally different people, yet with both sons, you have the same result, mm-hmm. that we haven't spoke to you, you've shut us out of your lives. It's only because I'm blessed enough to be doing a little better that I can hire lawyers and stuff, mm-hmm. that you don't harass me. But with my brother, you know, he had to get a restraining order against them. And at one point, I don't even know if I told you this, when he was in court getting the restraining order against Sam and Francis, they wrote a letter to the judge. They didn't appear in court, but they wrote a letter to the judge. Imagine doing this to your child, adopted or not. They wrote a letter saying that my brother was mentally unbalanced.
Oh, God.
And that he had severe mental retardation.
Oh, my God.
Really? I mean, I'm laughing about it now. He can laugh about it now.
Mm-hmm.
But it was serious.
Yeah.
It was very serious. You know, my brother's been on the show and told everybody about the times that they hired a private detective to follow him around and follow his girlfriend around.
Mm-hmm.
And all we really wanted was just to go our separate ways, because the relationship was beyond repair. So at one point I'm mentioning this, while I'm trying to keep my composure, while I'm trying to say, I only called to find out why you sent me the letter, and if you think I should make an appearance, I'd be glad to. No, you know, you're not welcome. Okay, well then why did you send me the letter? Because we thought you should know. Then I said, well, as long as we're talking about what we should know, let's get into Sam. Let's get into the relationship that I've had with him.
Mm-hmm.
And they said, okay, let's get into it. I said, my son's about to have his 18th birthday celebration, which he just did, have his graduation party, he's going off to college.
Mm-hmm.
I think I've done a pretty decent job with him. I didn't do as great a job with my daughter, but I've worked at it every time. I said, let's talk about Sam, about why he was a great father. Tell me why you think he was a great father. And the only answer that they could come up with was, do you remember when you were in Providence and you got kicked out of your apartment? I said, sure. He gave you $300 for the rent. And do you remember when you had to declare bankruptcy back in 1977, I said, yes. He paid $400 for a lawyer. Now, I'm having this conversation mm-hmm. with my wife sitting right across from me. So I'm repeating everything that's being said, because one thing I know is that over the time, while we were starting to go through this estrangement, we paid my parents. We asked them, send me a bill. Tell me how much I owe you. I'll pay you every dime.
Right.
So now I said, the only way that you can say that this guy was a good father to me was the fact that he gave me money when I would F up. And to the best of my knowledge, I've paid back all the money.
Mm-hmm.
If there's money that I owe, name the amount. Just name it. And I'll write a check. Because if you're talking about love, support, how can you possibly say that he was a good father when you take me out of the equation? Here's a grandchild. Here's my son, Bart, who they've seen once.
Mm-hmm.
I said, I never stopped you from seeing him. I never told you don't see him, don't contact him. He's never gotten a birthday card, a Christmas card, a note,
mm-hmm.
anything. I said, so if you want to talk about being a good parent, you know, perhaps they should look in the mirror.
Yeah.
And then I hear, well, the only reason, and I mentioned something about Frida. I said, you know, thank God that I have Frida, and thank God that I have Frida's family, because I know how a real family is supposed to operate.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when they pulled out the heavy artillery.
Mm.
Those people don't love you. They only say they love you because of your money. And then this was a quote.
Yeah, because you've been so independently wealthy the whole time you've been in that.
This is the quote. You are the goose who laid the golden egg.
Is this a person that has any knowledge of your situation? Is this a person that has any...
But
has any knowledge of Frida's family?
Yes, and I mentioned, I said, you realize when Frida married me, I had nothing. I was up to my ass in debt. I bounced a check on our honeymoon. That if Frida's not in it for the money, and even if she was in it for the money, there's something called community property.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and God, you know about that. I mean, if things were to go bad, she'd be fine.
Right.
She'd be more than fine. So she's not in it for the money. So don't tell me that my mother-in-law and my late father-in-law and all those people that matter to me, like my family, are in it just for the money, because they're not.
That's a pretty horrible thing to say.
Incredible. And every time that I would start boxing this person into a corner,
mm-hmm.
she'd hang up on me.
Oh, God.
Then I'd have to call back and say, why do you keep hanging up? I've not raised my voice.
This is an aunt we're talking about here?
I don't want to say who it is.
Sorry, I apologize.
Because, you know, there's always the possibility with these people of legal action.
Right.
Even though I'm just telling you a real-life experience and speaking from the heart, there's always the chance.
Mm-hmm.
So, I say, why do you keep hanging up? Why'd you call? Why'd you send me the letter? You're the goose who laid the golden egg. I said, would you stop this with the goose that laid the golden egg? If you're looking for money, tell me how much, and I'll pay it. Then the profanity starts. Then it's, you're a goddamn loser. Your wife doesn't love you. She's just with you for the money. Your mother-in-law doesn't love you. Your father-in-law doesn't love you. And I had to stop him and say, well, kind of hard for my father-in-law to love me now because he's dead, because
mm-hmm.
he just passed away.
Mm-hmm.
They hang up again. I call back again. I said, please stop doing this. If we're going to have a dialogue, let's have the dialogue. Listen, Sam is in bad straits. Do you need me to come down? If one of us has to be the bigger person, it'll be me. I'll come down. I don't know if I can make my peace with this guy, but I'll come down because I think it's the right thing to do. No, you're not welcome.
God. Wow. So just effing with you, really?
Yeah.
Really, I mean, I hear nothing on the other end that would involve anything other than
a guilt trip. Yeah.
And this went on, and my wife is now looking at me. She's thinking, she's saying to me, why are you continuing to have this conversation? And the reason is that even though they're effed up, and even though I really don't have a lot of love left for them, for a long time, they were my parents.
Mm-hmm.
And even though they mishandled everything, the adoption, all of the lies that they've got going in their own family, sending my stuff back in a box, the way they treat my brother because he can't stand up to them, the fact that they've totally ignored my son, all of that, I'm still thinking, oh, I should do the right thing. I should at least go down there and make an appearance. So after 5 hang-ups, I finally lose it. And she picks up the phone again and says, hello. And I say, okay, now you're just going to listen to me because I've listened to you. And then when I say something that is truthful, you hang up because you don't have a response. Here's the truth, and I've said this to anybody in this family that will listen to me. You're not my family. You've made that abundantly clear to me. You guys are the ones that cut off contact with me. You sent me my stuff back in a box. You've sent me letters saying you're not a member of this family. You're trying to F with my marriage. Do you remember, 10 years ago, I was originally married when I was 18 and got divorced when I was 18 and a half. Mm-hmm. And as it turns out, in the state of Wisconsin, you got to, it's like Virginia, you got to wait a year.
Mm-hmm.
So there was a technicality, and for whatever reason, even though my ex-wife, Dawn, mm-hmm. had gone on to marry somebody else, apparently there was a piece of paper somewhere that, at least on my end, we weren't formally married. Well, we had a lawyer look into it, and he said, "Nah, you're okay, you're fine." And as it turns out, that very same day, Frieda said to me, "Well, regardless of this, we should go out and renew our vows right now." It's almost like an episode of the Dick Van Dyke Show,
mm-hmm.
where Laura lies about her age, and they don't think they're legally married. Here's my point on this. Do you know who sent the letter to Frieda? My mother. And the reason that she sent the letter to Frieda with the information that I didn't know was trying to ruin my marriage.
Yeah, obviously.
Trying to say, mm-hmm. listen, he's still not legally divorced.
Mm-hmm.
Even though, and we had an attorney look into it, I was.
It's pretty heavy duty.
So that's just some of the background on this. And I'm sitting through this call on Friday night, and I'm agonizing with it, thinking, I want to do the right thing. I want to be a stand-up guy. I don't want to, you know, the last thing I want is another goddamn funeral where I'm not there. And it gives them all a chance to say, oh, look, he's like we thought he was all along.
Mm-hmm.
So after the fourth hang-up, I called back, and I just got mad, and I got it out of my system. And I said, I've asked you before, and I've had a lawyer send you a letter before, telling you I don't want any contact with you. Hear me now. Really, it doesn't matter to me. And this is not really how I feel, but I had to say it. I said, it doesn't matter to me if he dies today, tomorrow, a week from now, a month from now. He's dead to me. You're all dead to me.
Mm-hmm.
All I've asked is that you leave me alone. You've taken my brother to the point where my brother has to hide the fact of where he's living.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody knows except me. Nobody in the family knows where he's living except me. He has his mail through a P.O. box. He's got his phone through somebody else's name. And he makes no contact with them because they F with him all the time. And I finally said some stuff that at the moment I felt good for. And now I'm reliving it and thinking, oh, boy, should I have said that when I said, you know, you're dead to me. He's dead to me. She's dead to me. You're all dead to me. Just leave me alone.
Mm-hmm.
Just leave me alone. So now I'm thinking today, well, I'm still thinking, should I go down there?
I understand.
You know, this. When Charlie came in the office today, I'm on the computer researching this, finding the hospital, and calling the hospital to find out if it's on the level.
Yeah.
Because that was another thing that I really didn't know.
There's been so much miscommunication and so much lying that you don't know whether it's, you know.
There's been so much BS that you don't know. Mm-hmm. So
right.
When I got to work today, I got on the computer and I called the hospital and heard, yeah, he's there.
Mm-hmm.
Then I'm thinking, well, if I send flowers, that's not really personal.
Right, no.
I could go down there. Well, first, I don't want to miss a day of work.
Mm-hmm.
Second, and it's not that work's more important, but second, why go somewhere where they really don't want me?
You're not welcome.
I'm just going there kind of for myself to say I'm not afraid of this. I'm not afraid of the way that I've lived my life. I think I've turned out pretty well given the circumstances. And kind of part of it is F you.
Yeah.
That I want to go down just to say I'm here. I'm not afraid of this.
Mm-hmm.
I don't hide behind letters where I don't have a return address, even though the handwriting is obviously my mother and father's handwriting that says you're not a member of this family anymore, you know, and the postmark is the town they're living in.
Right.
I mean, how stupid do they think I am? So that's thanks for listening. That's all I had to say. And that's it. It's effed up.
Yeah, it is. It just seems like even now they continue to do it to you, and you know it's amazing.
Sorry,
it's amazing.
To go through that again.
You know, I would tell you, and I'm not anybody to dole out advice, but if you were going down to say
I'm not afraid. That's not, you know, then you shouldn't bother with it, you know. But if you were going down because you felt you had to, you know, that's a different reason.
Well, now here's the thing. There's a part of me that feels I should go down because I have to, because for a big part of my life, even though, you know, and I told you the stories, and please don't cry for me, Argentina, that my brother had it worse than I did. Yeah. But, you know, I've told you, and he's told you.
What does your brother think about all this?
He's glad that they can't contact him.
Yeah.
He said, stay away. You know, what have you got to gain? Yeah. Stay away. But I think back, and I was trying to think back, was he a good dad, really? Even before all of the adoption mess and all of the lies. But the adoption is the biggest part of it, because you think about all the family reunions we went to,
right,
and how everybody in the family lied to us,
mm-hmm,
and said, oh, you look so much like your grandpa. You know, why go the extra step,
mm-hmm,
to lie to somebody?
Up and then hold on to it. When you were curious, when you really were old enough to know,
yeah,
and wanted to find out.
And see, I still remember, like, a conversation I had with him where I said, all I want to know is the information. This was, like, maybe 15 years ago. I said, I just want to know the information for health reasons, for my son,
mm-hmm,
for myself. And here was the response from my dad. What do you care? You're going to die anyway. What do you care?
Lovely.
And I said, you know, well, you have the luxury of knowing your heritage.
Mm-hmm.
You have the luxury of knowing if there's a, you know, heart failure, whatever,
right,
in your family.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm thinking back, thinking, where, and there were the names, you know, if you ask my brother, he'll tell you the same thing. What do you remember most about being a kid? Being called the damn dummy.
Mm-hmm.
Or my dad saying to me, you know, you're just stupid. Now, your brother is dumb,
mm-hmm,
but you're stupid. I mean, I'm looking back. I really don't remember a lot of, and I'm not looking for Leave It to Beaver crap.
No, no.
I'm just looking for regular, good stuff. One time when they would have said, good job, we're proud of you, thanks for doing this. And I can't come up with any. The only thing that I can come up with is that on occasion, because I effed up, he bailed me out a couple of times. I mean, not literally, but,
yeah,
you know, gave me some money.
Right.
And my fault was I paid back all that money, because that was part of the deal that Frieda and I made, was if we're really going to be done with them, let's not give them any chip to have against us. Let's, right, pay them back every single dime. So I'm very conflicted today.
Mm-hmm.
On the way into work today, I was thinking,
well, you're a fixer. You want to, it's part of your personality. You want to make it all, you know, you want to close. You want closure, and you might not get it.
And I'm coming in today, and I'm thinking, well, I'm sick, and I don't know, maybe I'll get better, or hopefully I'll get better, but gee, if I'm sick, and maybe even I shouldn't be working, maybe that's like a weird kind of way that things are working out, that if I'm not feeling good, I should go down to Florida. If I'm not going to be able to work, I should go down to Florida. And I'm thinking, no, you know, it's my job to go to work. And I made the call, and I said, if you want me to be there, I'll be there. And they just flat out said, no, you're not welcome.
Love to know how Sam feels. I mean, another relative.
Yes,
here.
I don't know.
Yeah. You're speaking for him.
From what I understand, from what I was able to gather on my own, it ain't like he's going to be saying a lot.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay? He's,
right,
pretty much incapacitated. So even if I went down there, who knows if he would know that, yeah, I was there.
Yeah.
But still, anyway, it's effed up.
Yeah.
So that's weighing heavily on my mind. And, you know, then we had the absolute opposite of that situation yesterday when we had the graduation party for my son.
Yeah. That's right.
And, yeah, the whole time that you guys and all of our other friends were there and all the family was there, and I'm feeling so good, the whole time this is weighing on my mind yesterday, thinking, wow, I'm so blessed to have all these friends and to have at least a semi-normal family,
mm-hmm,
and have a kid that's turned out, I think, pretty great.
Absolutely.
And what happened when I was a kid? And now I'm not here looking for woe is me, feel sorry for me, because a lot of people go through this crap.
Right.
It's just, leave me alone. And I'm saying this on the radio, for two reasons. First, because it makes me feel better. But second, it's the only way I know to truly reach these sick people.
Mm-hmm.
Because when I talk about them on the radio,
it gets back to them.
Yeah. People tape it and send it down to where they live. That is the only way that I truly know that my message is being received.
Right.
Wow. So I'm saying it now. You sent me a letter, and I called when you didn't ask me to call. You sent me a letter after sending me my stuff in a box and after sending me notes saying that I'm not a member of the family. And even when I called and said I wanted to come down, you said, my wife doesn't love me. My in-laws don't love me. I'm a loser. I'm the goose that laid the golden egg. Just leave me the F alone. Just die. Make it good with God. Just die and just leave me out of it. Just stop.
You know, I say this to you with all due respect, and I know how conflicted you are, because you are kind of all over the map here. You go between, you know, not knowing and then saying, just leave me alone, and it's, I know what you're dealing with. It's a tough situation. I can't imagine what it must be like to not know, you know, I mean, just to feel, because I know you too, and you probably won't say this, but I know a part of you feels like you should be there.
Yeah, well, it's the stand-up thing to do.
Yeah.
I mean, if he's dying,
right,
the right thing to do is, and I was thinking this on my way into work today. I was thinking, I should just call the airline and get a ticket and just go show up.
But then you have to ask yourself the question when you walk in there.
Right.
And you get asked. Especially if you walk in and there's a guy, you know, hooked up to 20 IVs, what's that going to do, you know?
Well, yeah. But I don't know. You know, I don't know what that would do. I don't know what the response would be if I showed up.
But what does your wife say?
Well, she told me just for the longest time, she told me, try to work it out with them. Regardless of your differences, try to work it out with them.
Sure.
And now, she's gone the other way.
Yeah.
She said, they're just bad news. All they do is F with your head.
Understandable. Listening to what you've said, Jesus. I mean, I know one thing you've got to be thinking is, if you were to pass today, years from now, are you going to regret having not seen him? But as Mike pointed out, you know, who knows if you could even get access or be able to communicate.
Yeah, and that I don't know.
And I don't want to sound cold, but with everything that's gone through, the gesture, you know, it's unless you thought that there was a chance.
Well,
you know, if you thought
really.
That there was a chance that the
Hello.
Skies would part.
Baby.
Hey, I'm talking about Sam here.
I know. Your throat sounds horrible, my sugar bear.
I know, I told you. Thank you. I got it from you. You know, everybody was not everybody. Mike and Buster just asked me, what do you think? And I was telling them that.
You have to do whatever makes you feel good. I mean, I can't tell you what to do. And the things that I do tell you, you usually don't do them anyway. You know, I mean, so you have to do whatever will give you peace. That's all I want, you know.
But for the longest time, you had been, I mean, up until like the last 10 years, you had always told me,
right.
And I go with my wife's advice, because I do trust her advice, where she would say, come on, be the bigger person.
Well, and for one reason, not for them, because they're past help. You know, for you, because as long as you hold all the hurt and anger inside, I don't think you can get by it, but... you know, I can't, you're the only one in that situation, Shug. So, I mean, I would like nothing better for you to say in your head, okay, these people are totally messed up, but I forgive them. You know, people have forgiven a lot worse. It's the only way to have peace in your life.
And here's the thing, but you heard the conversation I was having with this person, who I'm not going to name, on Friday night. I'd start out not being that way, saying, in essence, although maybe I just have to really dumb it down, but there's a part of me, I'm not going to say, I'm sorry.
No, I didn't say say you're sorry. I said, say, I forgive you.
Okay. Well, it's hard.
It's hard to say. I'm interject here. And I had a blow up with my family over the summer. And it was nothing like this. It was nothing. But it was something where it was me behaving badly in front of my brother-in-law, who was very close to me. And my sister wrote me a letter. And it was about loving people and, you know, love. And the gist of it was, and really I think a lot of people have to understand this, that love is not necessarily unconditional. You know, I think it can be unconditional when you have a child, and in many cases it can be. But in many ways, love can be conditional. You know, you can't just be a certain way and expect everything to completely be forgiven. It's difficult to do that.
Yeah, but that's what they're two different things. I'm not even saying love them. I'm not saying be with them. I'm not saying hang with them, try and have a family. I'm just saying that you won't have
peace. But how do you forgive somebody when they don't think they've done anything wrong?
How do you forgive their? They are mental cases.
You
they
don't.
Are, they're,
well,
they're
then, I mean, then your forgiveness would be meaningless.
No, it's not meaningless. If you don't hold the anger in your heart, I mean, there are people that, children that have been abused. I mean, a book I read recently called it. It was a bestseller. This kid was abused every bad way you can, and he went back and forgave his mother. Didn't want anything to do with her. Didn't want to hang around her or anything like that.
Could you picture me going down there and saying to these people, listen, I'm here to say, whatever you've done to me, I forgive you. I know how that's going to turn out. They're going to say, you forgive us?
And don't tell them.
F you.
Just forgive them and don't tell them.
Well, you know, it doesn't
matter.
Got a hard
time forgiving them, but
it doesn't matter what they
the
say, darling.
Here's the thing.
It's all within your heart. And
baby.
But you keep bumping up against your family expecting something to be different.
Baby, here's the thing. I don't expect anything to be different.
And I don't even know why you call them, because you're just like opening up the wound again.
Well, because I'm curious. What would you do? I'm not talking about here. Just you guys listening. You've gone through this thing with your adoptive parents, and you think you're never going to speak to them again. And then out of the blue, you get this letter. And Frieda read it first. Didn't read it to me on Friday. It's a good thing, because I would have been nuts on Friday. This letter was nothing like, we hate you, you're awful. This letter was, we want to let you know this is the shape that he's in. He loved you no matter what you think. He was a good father. Please pray for him. It's like, you get that, and it's almost like you're playing a game of chicken with somebody.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, well, and I don't mean to boil it down to this, but it does. It's like, well, I'll be damned if they're going to get the last word in on this, that they are nice and big and loving and they're bigger people than me, which is why I called. I called up, you know, because I'm not afraid to hide behind a letter. I'll call up and say, hey, I got the letter. I don't get what you were writing about. Exactly what do you require from me?
Mm-hmm.
Do you want me there? No. Well, then why'd you send me the letter? And that's when we get into the whole... That's when they start the barrage of the other stuff.
No, they sent the letter to lay a guilt trip on you.
Right. Mind game.
Yeah.
So because they are not aware that what they have done is wrong. That's what it sounds like to me.
Well, I think they are. But when people are miserable, they want other people to be miserable, too.
True.
And they torture his brother in the way that they can, which is mostly through his job and through all the ways that he's told about on the air. And they torture my husband in the way that they can torture him by making him feel he's unloved by the family that he does have. I mean, it's pathetic. So, I mean, you can either participate with them, which you did on Friday, and you'd end up, darling, I would love nothing better if you, when you called up and you spoke your mind, you hung up the phone and you said, I feel better. But you don't, that doesn't happen. So I wish you wouldn't do it, but you have to do what you need to do.
Well,
you know, it's just
a mind effort.
Yeah.
That's all. You're right.
Don't
it's a mind
let
game.
Them do it. And I know it's easy for me to sit here and say that, but
you know,
at a certain point when I listen to this and I hear Frieda explain it the way she explains it, I say to myself, you know, see somebody that can help you deal with this and not let them get to you, because it's obvious. And the hearing of the way Frieda put that, the way that they torture your brother, the way that they can do that, and then they hit you the way they know they can hit you, and there's probably not a closure situation, you know.
Misery loves company, and they're miserable.
Well, see, here's the thing. I know there's not going to be closure, but if there is not going to be closure, and I think they know it too, Then why send me the last?
You know why, darling? When they write you that, and you know they do it to make you miserable, and you call them, and you get in this situation with your family, and you are miserable, their mission's accomplished.
Yep. It worked. I hate to say that, but I agree with your wife.
So,
well, you know, I'd say to all of you, walk a mile in my shoes.
Well, that's why I don't tell you what to do. That's why I don't tell you,
I
darling.
Can't live.
Hey, I'm exactly like you are when it comes to that, and I would do the exact same thing if I was in your shoes. I really
myself having gotten the letter and do nothing about it.
But you know,
and,
I couldn't either.
And to do what Frieda suggested, to just put in an envelope and mail it back. I want to tell you one thing about these people. They are the biggest cowards that I've ever met in my life. Anytime you're in a confrontation with them and you hit them with a fact, they run away and try to turn it around on you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and they said, and here's another thing. They said not only hurtful things about me, and they said hurtful things about my wife,
yeah, but,
about my mother-in-law.
Like I told her, like I told your family when they said that to directly to me, I said it doesn't bother me. I just take pity on you. You're turning the knife in my husband when you say that, but it doesn't do a thing. So if that's the worst you got, give it to me. And you know what? That was the most frustration that they ever had because they can't get to me. That's why I don't get the phone calls. Because I feel like they're pathetic and I feel sorry for them. And I only told you to send the letter back because you felt like you had to make a statement. I would love nothing better for you to be able to ignore it when this happens so that you don't distract them from your own misery with your pain.
One last thing, and I promise I'll get out of this because nobody's listening to the radio show to hear this today.
Disagree.
What I would really love to have said to them, and at one point I did say, you're dead to me. What I really wanted to say was, I would go to see him out of respect. But the man that I loved as my father, the man that I truly respected, who did things for me that had nothing to do with money, has already passed on. His name is Les Wright. He was my dad.
There you go.
You know, but
a lot of people don't have one person in their life like that.
But I didn't say that. And you know why I didn't say that? Because as nutty as it sounds, and you listen to the show and you hear me say to people, F you, I wish you were dead. That's just for the show. The truth is, even with these people who hurt me so bad, I can't bring myself down to that level.
Good.
I can't put the final dagger in their heart.
And you know what it sounds to me like when you get into it, when you mix it up with them, they suck you down to that level.
Mm-hmm.
And no, that's that. That's just a fact. That's what it sounds like.
Well, anyway. So that's,
All right, my boo-boo.
All right, babe.
All right. You know you are loved.
I know. I love you, too.
All right. Well, I mean, that's... Then you don't... Then you don't have anything to feel sorry about yourself.
I'll tell you what, I'm loved.
And
glad,
that's all that matters.
I am, well, of course. And thank you. I'm glad I have you. I'm glad I have Bart. Yeah. Glad I have everybody.
Right. And you have 6 million therapists.
Yes. I'm very glad.
How many people have 6 million therapists?
Because I'm very glad to have this show because it certainly is a lot easier than sitting down with some guy, you know, and just giving him stuff and just having him say, how do you feel about that?
Can I say also on behalf of me personally, because it's really, you know, let's get right to it. It's all about me. Thank you for the balance. You know, I like hearing about your pain sometimes because when I hear about your wonderful son and your wonderful wife, it's nice to have a little balance in there too. You know, when I, because it helps me feel better about my pathetic existence.
And you shouldn't. And you know what? You shouldn't feel pathetic.
I don't.
Having your girls out there yesterday.
I don't.
Yeah,
and was great.
And your daughters were the talk of the town when they left. They were very popular.
Well, and I think we all do the very best we can under the circumstances, and we hope it. You know what? Every family. It's all by degree. Mm-hmm. It's all by degree. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, maybe there are some cleavers out there, but I think that you deal with what you can and you get your strength from where you can. And you know what? I'm thinking as I'm thinking out loud here and I'm going to give you some advice because I think really the more you can avoid people that are going to bring you down, the better it is for you. I really think that's the only advice I can give you. And I'm not talking about going down there because that's a different story. I'm talking about the conversations. You know what I mean? Getting into it, mixing it up with people because
it's a waste of time.
It doesn't sound to me like there will be any solution there.
But I went into it with that thought. And it's easy to say, And I don't disagree with you or with Frieda or anybody else that's told me that.
Oh, and I'm not saying, I'm just saying that's a fact. I'd probably be making the call, too.
Sure.
People have told me that to my face. Don't do it. Don't get into it. You and I are exactly the same in that regard, you know?
No.
We like to mix it up.
And you know, then there's a rational part of me, because I know they're nuts. Trust me, I know they're nuts. And I know how blessed I am to have, you know, Frieda's family. And I was even thinking, and I still can't let it go today. 3 days later, I can't let it go. You know, yeah. I got a note from, we all got a note from Frieda's brother, Doug, who had a quadruple bypass surgery. And he's doing fine now. And I've not always been the best buds with Doug. He's the guy that he's my brother-in-law. I like him. Maybe he likes me, but it's one of those weird, you know, I'm not really close with him. Well, since he was sick, I've been to see him a couple of times. We had some heart-to-hearts. Well, we got a note from the guy over the weekend saying, thank you for coming to see us. I love you both.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I looked at that note. I didn't even tell this to you, baby. I look at that note and I think, wow, look at this. Now, your brother, who, to the best of my knowledge, pretty much thinks that I'm just a potty mouth dick.
Mm-hmm.
He now, even he, you know, I get from him, I love you. So I realize how blessed I am to have your family.
Right.
But the point is, you know, I got all these memories with these other people, and it's just effing with my head. That's all. Well, our hour is up.
I hope you've enjoyed that hour of commercial-free therapy.
I'm really sorry, because now I've screwed up the time on the show tonight.
Ah, we'll fix it.
Screwed it up awfully. All right, baby.
All right, my boo-boo-boo.
Thank you for a very nice party yesterday, Frieda.
You know, and more than one person said to me, what a great dad Mike is.
Oh, that's nice.
You know that's very true.
Well, I love doing it. I love them. I love them to death.
No,
they had a great
time.
Your
girls are a delight.
I will tell you, I will share with you on a lighter note that the one moment that I truly enjoyed, and this is how great a dad I was, is when I looked for my daughters and they were down in the basement with, it appeared to be 20 18-year-old boys.
They were
watching the James Gandolfini Robert Redford prison movie. And there were the two little heads just, you know, riveted to that. It was a good day.
They're right at home, yet they wouldn't give Rob's daughter Julie the time of day, but those 18-year-olds, they were all over.
Interesting.
That's the way it works, I think.
All right, baby.
Okay,
I'll
bye, sweetie.
All right. So anyway, that's that. Sorry about that.
No, don't be.
But it was on my mind. Sorry.
So did you catch Finding Nemo over the weekend? I did.
Congratulations.
Let's wait. Now that's out of the way, you know, I'm sorry, everybody, but if
you know the next time I'm going to go to a first-run motion picture?
When?
Never!
We do have to break, and we'll be paying for this the entire show today.
All right. Worth it.
Bear with me, because I may not be here tomorrow.
If you just would bear
I mean,
with
not because I'm going to go down there, but right. Listen to this.
Right. If you bear with me, just please, I know we're short on time now, just give me just some time to get the Nemo thing off my chest.
Oh, listen, we got what?
Let's go right now. Let's just go commercial free for the rest of the show.
Come on. Come on.
No,
we can't.
I'm kidding.
Okay, there you go. We got the party. Mm-hmm. Then you can have a break.
Mm-hmm.
And all the breaks will be shorter today.
Right.
You can have the break for Nemo.
Right.
And then we got the Bob Hope.
Right.
And then we got the trip to give away.
Amen.
And then it's time for me to go home to my awful screwed up head. We're going to break, and then we'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
You're getting better. That's the important thing. You look better, too.
If you're going to lie to me, coming into Broad waiting in the car, I want to tongue my balls.
Hey, you want that? It's a phone call away.
The Don and Mike Show. God damn it. The Don and Mike Show.
All right. Well, we did some math here.
Mm-hmm.
I think we'll be all right.
Yes, the rest of the breaks on the show will be a little brief, but don't worry about it.
We'll do a couple of short ones, and then we'll catch up.
All right.
And most importantly, Buzz, the way I've done the math right now.
Uh-huh, yes.
You're not getting screwed on your news time.
I'm not worried about it.
How about three more words, though?
Ah, yes, mm-hmm. Three more words.
From Marcia's tattoo.
The story.
Mike, would you like to go first?
No, I wouldn't. I would like a preposition prior to my...
Buzz. Buzz?
But. B-U-T.
Oh, it's one T.
Love what, Robbie?
He just used one T.
Yeah, just one T.
But.
But.
But. He said but.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Located. Thank you, Buzz.
Good. Glad you did that.
Near.
You know, a gentle story once in a while is actually quite fun.
Could be fun.
Here's, I like it.
There's your next three words, but located near. Let me just clear through these lines, and then we'll be done with
okay.
this.
Okay.
We'll keep on. This
all right.
Short break.
I understand. I just... All right.
Why? No, you tell me. You think I'm going to get wrapped up again?
I just, you know... It's like I always feel when you're going to go right to the lines, you know, when we're trying to...
Okay.
Especially after, you know, you've basically filleted yourself on national radio.
Yeah.
And, you know, I just... sometimes the certain parasites that are out there that we feed on that type of situation might be lingering.
They can't make me feel any worse than I do.
All right, go for it.
Yeah, maybe you're right.
It's like when we talk about a medical thing and somebody calls in and tells us how bad it can be. You know, we don't need that.
All right, listen, no offense, don't call. okay, here we go. The weekend. So we got my kids' graduation party, which is, hey, thanks, Joe. Thanks very much.
Joe brought you in a nice icy cold beverage?
Yeah. It took him 13 minutes to do it. Joe, appreciate it. Love you, Joe.
Oh, nice meeting Mrs. Archer.
How about Joe's girlfriend?
I like her.
She's fetching.
Very nice.
Joe's done well.
Very sweet.
I had to stop myself from asking her on more than one occasion.
Uh-huh.
What do you see in him?
Absolutely.
It's not like Carrie and I had that conversation on the ride home, but
Joe,
they were trying to recover from a very bad Sunday morning because they woke up and their vodka had been stolen.
Oh, that sucks.
And I didn't know. I found two things out about Joe the past couple days. First of all, I didn't know Joe was left-handed, and I didn't know that Joe apparently starts every Sunday with a nice stiff Bloody Mary. And the vodka, she was gone.
Oh, no. So somebody stole their vodka?
From a party a couple nights before.
Ah.
Apparently, you've got a fluky roommate.
Mm-hmm. So we're having this party for Bard for his graduation. And we invited everybody from the show and most of Bard's close friends.
Right.
And a lot of their parents.
And I want to say the generations really mixed well.
Yeah.
As they always
there was
do.
No mixing of the generations, really, at least not when right. I was there.
At one
you
point,
had the boy, you had a boys club down in the basement.
Mm-hmm. And at one point, it was, you know, I'm not glad to see this, but on one hand, I am. Well, it was just everybody from the show.
Right.
Was sitting in one corner by the grill.
As comfortable as we all could be.
And
if you put us in a party, you for a moment, and this is probably wrong, but for a moment I said at your party, as we all gravitated to one corner, I said, these are the type of people that would probably, outside of Charlie, gravitate towards that corner, you know, naturally.
And you had all of the parents sitting across.
Right.
And then you had... the family members who are undecided.
Yes.
Because both camps, the parents of Bart's friends and all the people who work on the show,
right,
were in areas where there was almost like territorial lines.
Absolutely.
Saying, don't enter because we're all in our own.
But it was a wonderful little patio. It was a little patio with a little raised area.
Mm-hmm.
So you couldn't get out.
No.
Right? You were in there and you were trapped and you had to... to mingle, and so you had to jam yourself over into the corner.
And I was also pleased, too. It was easy to classify people because of the Hawaiian shirts.
Yes. I thought we all, the three of us in particular, stood out rather nicely.
Everybody from the show had a Hawaiian shirt on.
Buzz and Joe.
Joe, yeah.
Buzz, you had one, too.
We
that's
all
right.
wore Hawaiian shirts, except for Charlie.
Yes.
Yeah.
And Charlie, incidentally, boy, listen, another time, another show, when we have time, you want to talk about somebody with mental problems.
God.
At some point on a show, do you think we can get him in here and just say, what the hell is wrong?
Here's what's wrong with him.
It's gotten worse. Now he's got a wife, so it's worse.
He's had some conversations with me, and I know they were private, but... No, F that. he's got a wedding coming up.
Mm-hmm.
He's got the pre-dinner, the rehearsal dinner. And he's told me that his biggest fear in getting married is not the commitment.
Mm-hmm.
It's not that he doesn't love Lisa.
Right.
His biggest problem is all of the people being at the ceremony.
Yeah.
That
the audience, basically.
He doesn't want to deal with all those people.
Right.
And you will notice yesterday at the party that Charlie sat a lot of times by himself.
By himself, doing what Charlie does.
But he just had a spot in the corner where he just stayed. And I was surprised he was not the first to leave. When Charlie and Lisa did leave, I made a point of walking over and saying, thanks for coming, and I wasn't BSing him. Thanks for staying.
Right.
Because I know.
No, he's just not a party person.
That's true. That you don't dig other people.
But he's valued by anybody that knows him as a friend. I mean, because he is a rather pleasant guy to be around, and he's funny, and sometimes. I mean, he pissed me off on the Iceland trip, but then, you know, I get over that in about an hour. But, I mean, the thing is, he is funny.
Yeah.
You know, he's got things to say if you get him one-on-one. You get him in that party situation. And, you know, Charlie and I are pretty much opposite ends of the spectrum.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So before we had the party, though, for Bard's graduation, there were so many things that had to be done that my wife was driving me nuts. Mm-hmm. And finally, I'm so glad I did this. I'm not a helpful husband. You know this. I don't do dick around the house. But she was going nutty with, how many people are going to be coming? Mm-hmm. Who do you think is going to show up? Mm-hmm. What parents will show up? What should we get? Saturday morning, we had a mini meeting, and I said, oh, hold on, I got a call I do have to take.
Okay, very good.
Has nothing to do with what I talked about before. Okay. Hello, Donna Mike.
Hello. The phones don't sound like they're turned on.
Tom?
I hear nothing.
Hold on a second.
There we go. There you go.
Hey, Tom?
Hello.
Hi, Tom.
Hey.
Hi.
Hi, guys.
Hi, Tom.
You sound sick, man.
that's all I wanted.
That was Tom's contribution.
Tom called.
Tom, how do you spell sick?
Tom.
Oh, we lost.
Gone.
We can only imagine.
Gone.
S-I-N-T.
So I have a meeting with my wife, and she says, I said, this is not tough. Planning for this party, it's not tough. She says, off the top of your head, how many people are coming? I said, 40. And she said, count them right now in front of me. And I went, okay. And I started counting people
and
putting little dots on a piece of paper. And as it turns out, it was 39.
Wow.
And I said, but if I count Julia, Rob's daughter, as a person, now I counted your daughters as people who would eat hamburgers.
Thank you for that.
I said, well, no.
It's a joke. It's a joke.
I know it is. So I said, if I count Julia as a regular person,
then it's
40. That blew her away.
Yeah.
She said, like I had just found a cure for cancer, she said, I can't believe that. You figured out the number of people. She said, okay, here's what we have to do now. Now's the tough part. We're going to have to go to Costco together. And I said, oh, no.
Oh, no.
No, no, no.
On Saturday?
Yeah.
Good time to go to Costco.
Yeah. Because it's a CF anyway.
Right.
And going with her when she was nutty about the party, I said, I'm going to do this.
Right.
I'm going to handle it.
Wow.
She said, and there was a mocking tone. She said, okay, you're going to Costco by yourself to buy supplies for a party of 40. I said, yes, and here's why I'm going. Do you know what she had as far as potato chips? For 40 people, my wife had already done some shopping.
What?
One bag. One bag, and she said, oh, but we're going to have fruit and potato salad.
Hey, my daughter liked that fruit.
I said,
dug into that fruit
salad. I said, listen, fruit and potato salad is fine.
In fact, they're already composing their thank you notes because you had watermelon there.
But you've got to have Doritos, potato chips, Fritos.
You had the carbohydrates out there. You know, now that I'm on that Atkins thing again,
yeah.
You had the carbs out. You had the pasta salad, the potato salad out there. And, you know, when you brought out that meat, did you notice how visibly excited I got?
I know.
You brought these big trays of chicken and beef down, and I was just like, ha! Ah.
Mm-hmm.
It was exciting.
So I said to her, I'm going to Costco, and I'm doing it without you.
The Kirkland Company.
Kirkland?
That's it.
Kirkland product.
Mm-hmm.
She thought I'm out of my mind. I'm telling you, I've never had a more efficient shopping experience.
Right.
Even in Costco, where everybody's running around.
Did you dick around at all in Costco?
To get their free samples, because I knew what I needed.
Yeah.
I got 60 pieces of chicken.
Right.
60 hamburgers.
And what's nice about Costco, you get 60 pieces of chicken in one container.
Yeah. 60 hamburger buns, ketchup, mustard, relish, what else? Oh, 6 bags.
Don Geronimo for Kirkland.
6 bags of Doritos and potato chips.
We were well suited.
I'm waiting in line. I get up there.
I was kind of disappointed that you didn't have a block of cheese.
there was sliced cheese.
Sliced cheese.
Kirkland cheese.
Was it Kirkland cheese?
It was.
It was great cheese. It was. Wasn't it great cheese?
It was delicious.
I was sitting there snacking on the cheese.
Yeah, protein.
I'm in and out of Costco in 1 hour. And not to mention the fact they sell flowers in there, so I bought her a dozen.
Sell flowers, they sell planes.
So, and cars.
Yeah,
they really do. They had a new car sitting out front.
Yeah. They had a new car the last time I was in there. A new car!
So I call her, and I say, baby, guess what? And she's waiting for the worst. She says, what went wrong?
Mike O'Mara for Kirkland Cheese.
I said, nothing went wrong. Not only am I already done at Costco,
right?
Not only did I buy you a dozen goddamn roses,
right?
Which incidentally is not the right way to put it.
No, not the best.
I said, not only did I buy a dozen goddamn roses,
a lovely bouquet of roses.
I'm going to the liquor store now because I know my friends don't want to drink the stuff you bought.
You know something? If Costco had a liquor store in it, I'd put a cot in there, and I'd live there.
Yeah,
so I go to the liquor store, and man, I never knew that vodka came in such gigantic bottles.
Did you buy any tools when you were at Costco?
I didn't have time for it.
They got tons of them.
Didn't have time for it.
Tons of tools.
But I bought a bottle of vodka that had to cost $80. This thing is gigantic. And then I bought 3 other regular-sized bottles of vodka.
You know, if Daddy hadn't had the ankle biters with him, he would have put a dent in that bottle.
Well, without you, Mike,
yeah.
I would like you to know that crowd, and now we were monitoring.
Hey, I noticed the light beer. I had 2 beers at your party.
We were monitoring.
Not even drinking.
Bart and his friends, many of them 18, to make sure you think, okay, you can have a hard lemonade if your mom or dad is here.
Right.
You can have 1 beer if your mom or dad is here. I'm glad to tell you, and I know it wasn't the other parents. Mm-hmm. It was all the people from the radio station. We went through all of the booze.
Wow. Julia had 9 beers, didn't she?
No, Julia, I cut her off at 10.
Oh, good for you, Don.
I cut her off at 10.
Julia rocks, incidentally, Rob's little daughter. Yeah. I thought my little Elizabeth was as cute as they come, and she's a doll.
They both are.
But they're twin dolls there. Those 2 little girls are cute, and Catherine's a sweetheart, too. But Julia and I were doing a little bit of the... Yeah, we were dancing a little bit. Did a little dancing yesterday.
Oh, she did her happy dance many times yesterday, Rob.
Yeah, I taught her that.
And Rob was also quizzing her. You know, that's so funny when Rob was quizzing her.
That was a moment.
Because, you know, when a kid is little, you can teach a kid to say just about anything.
Yeah, but the best was what does Jerry Lewis say?
Oh, she's got an amazing recall. And you know what? That only took 1.
Yeah.
She grabbed on that one.
What does Jerry Lewis say?
Lady.
And what does Elvis say?
Oh, 2 for Elvis. It's either hey or thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
And she knows them both.
Wow.
She's a quick study. Yeah. I'll be sending her to your camp.
The president's camp.
And at one point, as a matter of fact, my sister-in-law, Robbie, was there with her kids. Mm-hmm. And we're the godparents to one of her kids.
Mm-hmm.
So she comes up to me and says, now this is my sister-in-law says, Drew, my godson who's 13, says, Drew's upset. I said, why? And I mean, it was half serious.
Just, right.
Because you're spending all of your time with Trip, with Rob's son. You know, now how old is Trip?
He will be 8 months.
Okay, he's a little baby.
You spend time, progressively, you spend time with the littlest ones.
Right, well, yeah,
that's how that game works.
Yeah.
You got to learn that early on. If you're a parent, you know that.
They're busting my balls.
Oh, really?
The twins are busting my balls saying.
Well, you always like the little babies, you know,
because
they don't talk back.
Although Julia was, she didn't talk back.
No, she's talking, though.
She's to that.
Very chatty.
She's to that level.
She takes after her mother.
Oh. She's like, we got a break again. Yeah. But the conversation today between our wives was just...
Melting the lines?
Nuts. Rob calls me up. I've already talked to him in the morning. He says, did you just call me? I said, no. He said, well, it's on the caller ID. And Julia said the phone rang.
Mm-hmm.
So I called down to Frida. I go, Hey, did you call Carrie? She says, yes, about the salad dressing.
Oh, boy.
But I'll call her back. And I said to Rob, do you have any idea what they're talking about?
I said it's code. It's Cunny code.
So I'm trying to...
These phone lines are going to melt.
So I handled it all. I did it all. Mm-hmm. I got the Costco. Mm-hmm. I got the booze.
Good job.
I got the mother-in-law here. I'm set. We're ready for the party.
Right.
Went off pretty much without a hitch yesterday, right?
Yeah, I thought it was great. Yeah.
Pretty good. And I didn't have to tell anybody to leave.
What I loved is, like, you know, you and I live pretty far apart. I think I'm probably, you know, by land the furthest
one. You're the farthest away.
And I set a land speed record. It was just great. It was great. And my daughters love your little back road there where it's like, here we go. We're going to go over the bump. Here we go. We're going to go over the bump again. It's fun.
Well, and your daughters, where they hit, Mike?
Well, were they really? Yeah. Oh, that's good. Well, they usually are. And, you know, they're not aware of it yet, you know. And a couple of years from now, when they start becoming aware of it,
look out!
It's when Daddy's in the corner with the bottle, blowing spit bubbles.
Got to break. Sorry, Doug. It was because of, you know, my whole therapy thing. We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Okay, hi. This is Dorm Radio, DORM, broadcasting live from the basement of the Science Building. Great.
The Don and Mike Show.
You want to get right?
You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you.
What do you say we cut the chit-chat? A-hole.
Squeeze them like toothpaste and brush your teeth with their love. Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What happened?
Hello there, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Okay.
Hey, I just want to say, before my original comment that I had, I've listened to you guys since, like, 1988. And now, obviously, I don't know you personally. I feel like I know you, and I felt like you're like the older brothers I never had. And I just want to tell you that I am genuinely, genuinely sorry that your family are such crap.
Oh, listen, I appreciate it, but I didn't say it to elicit.
No, I know you didn't. I know you didn't. And that's why I wanted to say something, because, you know, deep down through all the a-holism, you guys are pretty decent guys deep down, and no one deserves that kind of crap.
Not really. I really think if you really got to the inner cookie, you'd find that we are inherently evil.
They're very bad.
Well, that's okay. Evil is good.
Evil is good.
No, but I'm with the caller. I feel like I know you, too.
Thank you, Buzz.
Yeah, I appreciate it. Yeah.
Buzz, you kind of do.
I think the way that you should resolve this is simply send them the I'm very glad you're dead bouquet from FBE. Oh. Lovely ceramic black coffin, black roses, the whole nine yards.
What are we telling you?
Okay. Does FTD really offer that?
Actually, FTD doesn't, but there is a flower service online that does.
Yeah,
online, you can find anything online.
Right. That's right.
The best thing to come from that call is I'd never heard the phrase a-holism before. Mm-hmm. Like, it's something you can practice.
Well, when the show's over someday, what do you think I'm going to teach? 101.
Don't you have a doctorate in that?
Yes, I do, and I could say, good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Please arrange your seats in a semicircle. This is a-holism 101.
I'm fellas, Dr. O'Mara.
Fellas, get out your pieces of paper.
Ah, yes.
But also, fellas at home and gals at home, to win today's trip on Hooters Air to go to Myrtle Beach. Buzz, why don't you go first?
Her.
I'm going to go next.
Okay.
Hairless.
Glad we're keeping it gentle.
But
I'm kidding.
Of her own choosing, from what I could see.
Yes, I know.
Mike?
This is an important word, guys. Just give me one little second here.
You're
talk
right.
Amongst yourselves. I'm going to have it for you in about 5 seconds.
We're doing story time now to win today's trip on Hooters Air to Myrtle Beach. We're giving these away every day this week.
Very good.
Sanctuary.
Oh, very nice.
Incidentally, you give me you give me those kind of words, I'm very good with the bridging words.
So the next three words are her hairless sanctuary.
And just, you know, not recommending any words or anything, but the word after that should be OV. I'm sorry, OF, of.
Of or OIV.
OV.
OIV.
Phonetic.
Sanctuary of. Okay, because then you can go on for miles.
OV reminds me of OY, like as in Oy Vey.
Oy Vey!
And there's a picture in the new entertainment Weekly magazine, the one that has the Hulk on the cover of it.
Right.
If you go to almost the very back of it, there's a picture of the president of our company.
Oh.
Mel Karmazin is in a full-page ad.
It's a great picture.
For Fortune magazine.
And a great picture.
And the quote, if you're wondering, like, that's not it. That's a picture. Who's that a picture of?
Oh, I'm sorry. That's Connie Brook.
No.
No, I'm sorry. Lou Wasserman is who.
Ah. It's got a picture of Mel. Same difference. And he's got a look on his face. You know, a lot of times we've told you about our conversations with him where he has said, what haven't I done for you?
There it is.
That's a crocodile hunter.
He's
got his hands folded and he's looking at the camera in his what haven't I done for you look. And I think the bottom line quote from Mel says, if anyone ever uses the word nice guy and Mel Karmazin in a sentence, they're wrong. And it says, the word next to him is joy.
Yes.
And if you put your hand over the J, it just says, oi. And someone has already got it up on the bulletin board where it says, oi, they. And then someone else has written, what haven't I done for you?
Somebody ripped the picture out of this book.
Probably the one on the bulletin board.
Are you looking at the one that has Hulk on the cover?
Yeah, somebody already go through it.
It's got to be gone.
I was furiously going through this. Mm. And incidentally, if you pick up this issue of Entertainment Weekly, as I'm always happy to point out, my prom date, Candy Bushnell, is in Entertainment Weekly.
You never got anything off.
He never changes. He never wavers. Total consistency.
Can I tell you something else as I looked at that picture of her?
She looks good for 44.
I was just going to say she's starting to hit the wall.
You think so?
Yeah.
You think that picture would indicate that she's getting a little long in the tooth?
Absolutely.
Yeah, you know, I'm not going to... No, I can't say anything bad about Candy.
Sure you can. She's never going to hear it. We're not in New York anymore.
She could have been mine.
No, she couldn't. You couldn't even feel her up when you took her to the prom.
But, you know, we were friends. And when she came by to do the show, we were still friends. And you know, that day she came in...
When a girl says you're friends, that means...
Well, I had a lot of friends in high school. And if you think I was a little faggy in high school, there she is. You think that's a hit-the-wall picture right there?
Yeah. Hmm. You know what she definitely needs? Is a boob job.
Well, she's never been ample in that area. But it never really mattered to me.
Mm-hmm. If I say this, my wife's going to get mad. Can you guess who at the party yesterday had a boob job? Somebody did. It's not you, Rob. Everybody's just writing down their guesses now.
All right.
Buzz has nailed it.
Mm-hmm.
Mike?
And a good one, too, I think.
I don't think.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, you got it.
All right.
Wait, now Buzz had it? So wait, now that means, is it more obvious than that?
I'm gonna rat you out.
Oh well, she has an ample.
Katie Bar.
Hey, Pussy Whipped here. Is Joe around?
Hold on a second, okay?
Hey, Mike thought it was your girlfriend who's had.
No, that's not the one I was mentioning. That was your sister-in-law. That's who I thought.
Well,
her boobs look pretty good.
See,
I didn't think it was Joe's. Is that Joe's girlfriend's name?
No. No. And see, well, don't say the name and I'll tell you why.
All right.
I thought you were writing that down.
Okay.
No,
right.
And no, it's not my sister-in-law either.
Is there somebody I know?
Yeah. As a matter of fact,
all right.
All right. Bye, Joe.
See ya.
Bye-bye. Okay, write it down.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
All right.
There you go.
Yeah.
And a fine job.
Yes.
As I think Buzz mentioned, fine job.
Ah, very nice. Yes, she looked fetching yesterday. Yes.
So the party today, yesterday, you're talking about today, Bart's graduation party.
Yeah.
I thought it went about as well as it could go, considering the fact that Fred and I were both very uptight about the friends and the family and the people from work showing up and the fact that there was going to be some beer there and there's going to be booze for the adults. And it was a hard thing to monitor. I was working the grill and at the same time looking at the kids, making sure that if a kid took a beer, because most of them, all of them are 18 now, to say, is it okay with your mom or dad if you have that beer?
Right.
And I know a lot of the kids probably hated me because I would actually walk over to the mom or dad and say, Incidentally, I've noticed your son, or in some cases your daughter, has taken a beer. Mm-hmm. Is that okay with you if they take a beer? And then it got worse because I had a couple of drinks, and then I'm going over and saying,
bars open, kids!
Yeah.
Let's go rock and roll.
An olive. But it was a very nice party, and thank you all for coming.
Thanks for having us.
And you are way too generous with my kid. Because here's the deal.
Hey, being your son has its privileges, pal.
Here's the deal.
Yeah, nobody's going to stiff your boy, I'll tell you that right now.
We've been trying to tell him to get off his ass and get a job.
He doesn't have to now,
no.
Does he?
No, he doesn't.
Right.
Because he was just blown away. Mm-hmm. As a matter of fact, I'm going to tell you, when I went upstairs after the party, I went up to the computer room.
Just out of idle curiosity, outside of the family, nobody beat me, right?
Oh, nobody beat you at all, Mike.
Okay.
You are the whiz.
Just checking.
So.
Thank you. Hey, you know, it's important to me.
I go upstairs, and he's still online. His AOL buddy list is still on, even though he's not there. So I did what any parent would do. I looked in to see what he had been writing to his friends.
Uh-huh.
And the first thing he wrote was, the party's going great. All my friends are here. Then the blah, 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 boring, boring, boring personal stuff. Then it was, yeah, I got a lot of good stuff and a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
Blah, 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 blah. And the next thing he writes is, I'm still drinking. there's my boy who I've been downstairs bragging on for the last 3 hours.
It was mighty weird, man.
Yeah.
To see him, it was strange for a moment. You know, you forget. I mean, because when you this is all new to us too. Uh-huh. When you see kids that you held as little infants and little babies, and then you see, you know, he's sitting there with a brewski. It was amazing. It truly was amazing.
And I had to go through the whole thing with him saying, now listen, I know it's your graduation party, and I know you're over 18, and I appreciate the fact that you're a good kid, but I'm going to watch what you're doing. And then he gave me the whole lecture. Well, Dad, the body absorbs one beer an hour.
Here we go. God, that's terrifying. You know, my sister with my niece did the same thing. And the first, I had the same reaction when I saw your son. Just the same way when I saw her. And I think we might have even been out at a restaurant. And it was, it's a strange occurrence. But then when I went to college back in the day, 18 was the legal age anyway. And I've always, right. You know, as much as you can make the case for, hey, you don't want the kids behind the wheel and all this stuff, but you know what? I'm a very big believer in old enough to go catch a bullet like so many people just did for our country,
yep.
Old enough to walk into a bar and order a beer.
All the parents were there of the kids.
I think that's a parent's way of saying, you know, in a supervised setting, you know, that's cool.
I wasn't going to let them get bombed. And I did have, I'll just tell you, one real nice thing with my kid is that at one point some of the parents came over my way and said, hey, will you just tell us how you did it? And I said, how I did what? And they said, do you know on prom night that your kid didn't drink? I said, yeah, I know he didn't drink. And they said, we had asked him, they were at a party supervised with other parents, and they said, Bart didn't have anything to drink, and they said to him, how come you're not drinking? And he said, well, I promised my dad I wasn't going to drink. And it was one of those great moments.
Wow. Wow, that is a good moment.
Where you get to fold your arm. Now, keep in mind, I spend an awful lot of time, you know, telling him how lazy he is and telling him how he's got to work. And you know,
that's a cool moment.
But that was a
cool moment to get that verification, too, from the other parents.
You know, and the other guys are saying, how did you do it? And then I start really pontificating. Well, it's all about respect and trust. And
right.
And then I realized that I'm getting off course because I started talking about Sam.
Right.
And I started, it went from Bart's a great kid and we have a great relationship with him to, oh yes, my adopted father is dying.
Right.
And it was at that point that these guys, nice enough as they were, I just lost them. I love them.
Starting to drift
one
off.
By one, and one of them just blatantly, and I appreciate it.
Walked away.
He just said, you know what? Now's really not the time to discuss this. Maybe we'll talk next week.
Yeah.
And he turned and walked away.
Wow.
And I appreciate that.
Right.
That I was getting into. I had gone from.
See, that's also a difference between you and me. I'd be like, what the hell do you mean it's not the time to discuss this?
Because,
who do you think you are? I've always hated you.
Because I had gone from getting a wonderful compliment about my kid, and rather than just brag and boast on it, I said, oh, yeah, he's a great kid, and I try my best to be a good father. Unlike my father, let me tell you a little bit about my father.
I like the guy at your party. I don't want, and obviously we're not going to mention names unless you think it's cool to mention names, but... he was the guy that just got a boat. He was a real cool guy. I liked talking to him. He was.
What kind of shirt did he have on?
Just a regular kind of a dress shirt, and he had kind of short gray hair, and he was a short guy.
Uh-huh. Mike, that's
Tom. Oh, Tom.
Yeah. Yeah.
You just bought a boat. You weren't talking to yourself.
I'm not short.
I know.
Yeah, that real nice guy.
Yeah, I talked to him
and
too.
His wife and his daughter. Very, very nice family. Very nice family.
Yeah.
Very
nice. What?
You look at him about that. No.
No, I didn't do anything.
You know what? No way. No. I'm giving your friend a compliment. I'm not going to let it get... I'm not going to let it go there. No way.
Nowhere.
You take it up.
She's in college, Mike.
You take it up with this gentleman.
Mike?
You take it up with this gentleman.
She falls within your range.
I will give you... She walked out of the party after they walked out. Do you know what the reaction was from this guy over here?
What?
I'll give it to you. Here's it.
Oh, stop.
You said that.
That's not even true.
You said that about Amanda?
Oh, you're making that up.
You're funny.
No, I never said
you're
that.
You're funny.
Never did it.
Did he say that?
I heard it. And then I looked at him, you know, knowingly.
Scoldingly.
Thank you.
Yes.
Thank you. I owe you.
We got a break. Oh, before we do, real quickly, three more words.
Ah.
Buzz, you want to go first?
Give me a second here.
Bug.
And?
Mm-hmm. Mike? I know, and wasn't the best word.
No, it
word.
Was fine. It was the best word. I owe him. All right. And place. Thank you.
The next three words are and place of to win today's trip on Hooters Air to Myrtle Beach.
There you go.
We will be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Did I not clearly explain the circle of trust to you, Greg?
Yeah, I think I got it.
Then is there something you want to tell me?
I don't think so.
See, if I can't trust you, Greg, then I have no choice but to put you right back outside the circle. And once you're out, you're out. There's no coming back.
Well, I would definitely like to stay inside the circle.
Well, then tell me the truth.
Jack, I don't know what we're talking about.
All right, now look, Father. I'm a patient man. That's what 19 months in a Vietnamese prison camp will do to you. But I will be watching you, studying your every move. And if I find that you are trying to corrupt my firstborn child, I will bring you down, baby. I will bring you down to Chinatown.
The Don and Mike Show. Broadcasting from between two pillows, the Don and Mike Show.
All right, even with the cold and with the hour of therapy, I think we pulled together the timing on today's show. We do have so much good stuff to give away that we got to... Please to call 100 in right now with the secret sound. You know, a jackpot is down to $500 for you.
500 means.
Giving away a very important clue. The clue is kids.
Kids.
And we hardly ever do the contest this late in the show. This will be the 100th caller right now at 877-365-3636. And before Mike tells us about what happened at the movies, let's get three more words.
Oh, really?
For the story.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, what the heck?
Mm.
We've got a lot going on today. I want to keep this going. Guys?
Yeah, hi.
How are you?
Please don't worry about that. Please. I'm having a bad day.
She's always very helpful.
I know.
She was on the case.
I know.
Coming
that.
In here and doing that for the thing there.
I know. She hears the contest and she comes in to help you with the lyrics.
Well, now that's out of the bag.
Well, you've announced that before.
Right.
Three more words for the story, please. And let's see. I'll go first.
Thank you.
innermost. Or should it be innermoist?
Innermost.
Innermost. Mike?
Passionate.
Buzz.
Location. Now we've done that, okay.
You gotta come up with another one.
Yeah, location doesn't work, Buzz.
Love.
That's it.
Okay. So the three words are innermost, passionate,
mm-hmm.
love.
It's a good phrase.
And we're working on a story about Buzz's wife, Marcia,
mm-hmm.
and the tattoo that she got. It was revealed a couple of months ago.
Exposed repeatedly.
But she showed it to Mike yesterday at Bart's party and then pulled me into the kitchen as well with Mike there and said, I understand you didn't see enough of my tattoo.
And really, we've really finished a sentence there. I think that, we normally try to make this kind of a run-on, but I think a new sentence might have to be formed to wrap up the story.
Well, we'll have maybe 9 more words tops.
Very good.
So think about that, fellas. We'll get to call 100, and then I know Mike had a great experience at the movies that I do want to hear about. Finally, something about...
God, I hate people.
Something about anything except me and my effed up family. Not my real family.
Yeah,
you know,
we know.
The nut people. Hello, Don and Mike.
Hello. I hear breathing.
Hello, hello.
Yeah, you are the 100th caller.
Oh, hello. What's going on, guys?
Hey, what's your name?
My name is Rob.
Ah.
Oh.
Sorry about that.
Send that right out to the fans.
Rob, where are you from?
I am from Fredericksburg, Virginia.
All right, Rob, get ready. Here you go. I'm telling you, this is right up your alley. Fifth row tickets, before you can buy them, to see Leonard Skinner and Sam Hagar together at Nissan Pavilion July 29th.
Sure it's not Sam Harris?
I'm sure my tickets go on sale Saturday at 10.
Sam Harris.
That'd be great.
I did Sam Harris.
Yes, sirree. Fantastic.
Ticketmaster and NissanPavilion.com. But wait.
Freebird and Somewhere Over the Rainbow.
You have also won ringside tickets and a meet and greet. What did you say? Sam Hagar and Leonard Maltin? Were we just discussing Leonard Maltin on the show last week?
We were indeed, and it's Leonard.
And you were defending him, as I recall.
No, Rob loves him. Rob is
absolutely
in love with Leonard Maltin.
Here you go. Ringside tickets and a meet and greet with your favorite wrestler at WWE Up Close and Uncensored at the MCI Center on June 21.
Beautiful.
Hello?
Hello?
Do you have one of those bad cell phones? Are you moving right now?
I am moving right now as we speak.
Okay, well, you won the WWE stuff, and you wanted Leonard Skinner and Sammy Hagar, and now you'll play for $500 with the secret sound. Are you ready?
I am ready.
It is a sound, a common everyday sound, actually more common than our other common sounds that we've given you before.
Right.
And it's worth $500, and your clue is kids. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
All right, here comes the sound. Please don't answer until Mike sings like...
White Zombie.
Hey, we added White Zombie today.
Yeah, but I don't remember.
It's our new theme.
Caller, name this sound.
And there you go. Now it's not a bottle.
Wow.
It's not a can. A lot of people think like it's a can of Pringles.
Sounds like that.
Yeah, it's got nothing to do with vacuum packing.
I tear my soul apart and I eat it some more. More human than human. More human than human.
Yeah. Yeah. That's our new thing, baby.
Yes.
For $500, what is that sound?
Is it opening a can of baby wipes?
Oh. Yeah. Rob. So transparent.
Oh, we're sorry.
No, it's not opening a can of baby wipes. Thank you. And remember that every guess is a clue
for you.
For you.
I got one.
Here's one.
Peeling back a Jell-O pudding. Negative.
Good though. That's an excellent guess.
It's the sound of Leonard Maltin opening up a can of pudding.
So, so Mike, besides the thrill,
I hate people.
Besides the thrill of getting together with friends and coworkers yesterday, you took your girls to go see Finding Nemo?
Well, I knew that Finding Nemo would not be in the cards on Sunday because I knew it was going to be a very hot movie. I didn't know it was going to be as hot. I counted 8 shows at my anthill of a theater were sold out on Saturday, and I was really... I'm not a first weekend guy.
Hey, you know what? Hold
What's
on.
That?
I just had
I thought, and if I don't tell you now, I'm so sick I won't remember.
All right, very good. Go ahead.
When we do Jeopardy this week,
yes,
you really should bring back Albert Brooks.
Yeah, because he's Marlon. Yeah.
Because he's finally top.
I know, and I know Nemo. I know everything there is.
Great.
As a matter of fact, when my daughter had her surgery today, they had a fish tank in the office. And I'm going to give them a plug. Fairfax Surgical Center. I think that's the name of the place. It's right down the road from here, from the radio station, and they are top flight, top shelf. Yep. It's the second time we've been there with her, and they could not be a more professional outfit. And I don't say that very often about things like this, but they were great. But they have a fish tank in there, and you can't go to see Finding Nemo and look at a fish tank the same after that. But, you know, and I have to go see it again. You know why I have to go see it again? I have to go see it again so that I can see it without a heart rate of 140 because I'm so pissed off at all the crap and the hoops like a trained goddamn dog I've had to jump through to go see this movie. So I get on the net, and I go to movietickets.com.
Uh-huh.
Ooh, movietickets.com. I've seen it in the trailers, movietickets.com. I'm going to be sophisticated. I'm going to be great, okay? Well, movietickets.com, it should be more like movietickets.com. Movietickets.com is not the fastest processing website. And when I give them my credit card,
right,
all my information, and I'm waiting for that confirmation, that's when it says, your net thing is not working, and it has crashed, and that's something. Awesome. So you have to close. Please close immediately.
Please close.
But meanwhile, bye, credit card. Bye. Bye, credit card number. See you later over there, out there for everyone to see. Probably double paid for the movie because of this crap. So that's when it starts. But I got the information on movietickets.com that all 300, you know, shows during the day were sold out, and they, you know, they doubled up this movie. This movie's in 16 theaters.
It's like, it's like a Matrix thing where it's
huge.
Three theaters.
Everybody's going to show this thing. Everybody's going to, you know, it's and all the way up to the first available film was at 5 o'clock. So I said, well, movietickets.com. I hear movietickets.com is just F me. There's not going to be a controversy. But so I determined that it's about 1:30, and I say, well, in order to get to this movie, I'll probably just do it the old-fashioned way. I'll drive. So in order to get the tickets for the 5 o'clock show, we got there at 2:30.
Well, how else would you get there if you didn't drive?
I understand. I'm just saying, if you had the movietickets.com tickets for the 5 o'clock show, you would have been fine. Yeah. Here's what I have to do. Now, I remember the days where you would go with a kid, especially a matinee. You would go to a movie. You would buy your ticket, you would walk in, and there would be some children in there, and that would be it. No. Movies where I live, out in Esville, where I live now, where I moved years ago for the peace and tranquility of a rural lifestyle, before they decided to S houses every square inch out there, and now you can't go to the grocery store, you can't go to the movies, you can't go to any restaurant on a Friday night on the main little strip, because every effort in the world is there, because there are just too many of us and not enough places for us to go.
Like, you finally have realized what everybody else knows. What you really need is...
What I need now is to move back in towards the city, because it doesn't matter out there in idiot land.
Just as bad in the city. You need
granite countertop land out there.
You need... Hey, don't knock granite countertop.
I know. Not granted,
you got
that's
right
my
here
way
in front of you.
That's the way. This is Corian. But anyway,
you need like a Unabomber, a bomber cabin.
I'd love
that. That's what
you know.
You
what
need.
You know what I need? You know what I need? I need flying lessons. helicopter lessons. Because then I could be very, very, you know, happy and comfortable and be one. But anyway, I'm digressing all over the place. I'm so pissed at this whole thing. And I'm with my, you know, the loves of my life, my angels. They're just great. They're always great. They make me happy. And of
course, Mike is talking about his hookers.
No. My little daughters are with me.
That's
and
right.
You know what? They don't, at this age, soon to be 8, soon to be 6, they don't care. They don't care whether we go or not. I do it because I'm doing the part-time dad thing, and I want to make every weekend at least have one thing that's going to be truly special. And in the case of going to a party, they're going to have two things that is going to be fun for them this weekend. So we have to get there at 2:30. And then when we're sitting there at 2:30, I said, oh, we got the tickets. This is very exciting. We have the tickets. And the very nice lady behind the counter says to me, well, you might want to get back here at 4:15 for the 5 o'clock show. I said,
Yes, they start lining up. I said, so the people not only have to buy their tickets in advance, but then they line up just so you can get a seat next to one another?
This is not news.
This is just crap.
Wow.
This is making me so pissed. I just think it's ridiculous that you have to go through these hoops to see it, because I don't do the first weekend stuff. And you know, the type of person that does this is the type of person I don't want to be around anyway. These are the people that are the first ones in line. They're the first people that go. Don't look at him like that.
Sorry.
I didn't even see him. He gave you a look like he's that type of person.
Well, I
and
just
it's like, yeah, well,
careful.
You do go to a lot of first run films, so you probably
I do, but again, you know what I do, though? I pick a time.
Yeah.
When no one else is going. I go at 10:30 on Saturday morning,
right,
if it's an adult film.
Well, I probably couldn't have gotten tickets for this at the early morning. But this is a kid's film. Everybody wants to go. So we finally get back, and we time it very well. We get there at 4:15, so the timing was perfect, because at 4:15, I was only the 300th person in line, because I guess the idiot, especially the dink that's reading his book with his little glasses on his nose, that plans this out and was sitting at the front of the line, I was not early enough. I guess, excuse me for not wanting to get to a movie at 3 o'clock, 2 hours before the thing starts. I'm in back at the end of this line. And if I sound like I'm worked up, this is, you know how you did your little thing earlier? And
yeah.
I know it's much more severe than this. This is really,
then hold
really
on,
therapeutic.
Hold on to it. Hold on to it.
Okay, because I got into the theater, and this wasn't a talk. It wasn't, you know what? I've always said, you know, you get talkers, but this was a kid talker with a parent that just did nothing. Okay?
It's a kid's movie.
And it was a fabulous movie. I know it was. I just didn't enjoy it.
Okay, stay right there.
I didn't enjoy it because of all the effers, the smelly, gross people.
Bottle that anger.
Yeah, send me the copies.
And do me a favor right now.
What?
I got the phone right here. Call down to Florida for me.
Well, you've got that energy.
Well, I have that anger.
Speak to my fan.
I'm wound up, and I'm glad I was able to recapture it, because these were the thoughts going through my mind. There was only one lady that was kind of cool. She was, like, prepping her daughter for a test, and they were asking all these kind of SAT types of questions, and we kind of had fun in line doing that, and then it just all turned to crap after
okay.
that.
Stay with it.
Okay.
Don't let the anger go.
Hope you all made it. Did you all see it? Okay, let's go to the TGI McGillip Fridigans again. Let's have our little cheese sticks, and then we'll go back to our homes that are located right next to the other prison. So it's exactly the same! Morons! Morons!
Wow.
Sorry.
You know, I thought I came in a bad way, did
I? Hey, look.
Wow.
No, it's just so
hi, pal.
Many people.
Deep breath.
We got a break.
Anybody that lives where I live that went out there.
Mike, it's that way everywhere.
I know, but I didn't. I lived. You know what my neighbors were when I moved out there? It was horse dung.
But now you need to move even farther out.
I can't. I don't want to drive.
You left something out in between the dinner and getting home.
Yeah. They got to go to the mall.
Got to go to the mall. Okay, hold on, guys. We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Mike?
Yes, Don?
It's not like Major Bill. I'm not trying to. Mike?
Hello there, Don.
At this time of the year, it's important to remember dads and grads, right?
Absolutely, it is. Of course, they're important.
What better way to stay connected with the most important people in your life than with a new phone?
And with a new phone calling plan from Singular Wireless. You know, Don, right now you can purchase one color screen Nokia 3560 phone for $29.99 and get a second one for free after a $50 instant rebate when you sign up for a 2-year service agreement. Yes?
I get the feeling you're pushing me out of this commercial.
I'm helping you. Get one for your dad like you and another for your grad like your son. Isn't that cool?
You're like my parents. You're just pushing me away.
I am doing nothing of the kind, but you have to hurry because the special offer ends June 15th. Would you like to add anything to that?
You should have taken a phone to Finding Nemo.
I know, I could have talked to you. Certain restrictions apply. See any Singular store for details.
What he said goes double for me.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Our campaign's been broke for months. Okay, fine.
Thank you very much.
Mom, will you go back to the hotel?
The Don and Mike Show.
Uh-oh. Sounds like somebody's got a case of the Mondays.
Time for more great skits. Here's Don and Mike.
Here we go. All right, we're halfway through Mike's meltdown at the movies with his daughter.
Well, I never had an actual meltdown. I just was so mad at the fact that, you know, that really, I don't know, it makes me realize just how fragile everything is. You know, we're all there at the same spot. We're all doing the same stuff. We don't have, you know, it's just, and I'm right with everybody else. I just hate being right with everybody else. And the fact is that this is what all parents were doing with their kids. I think every parent in America was going, it seems like, going to this movie. So I get there at 4:10, and at 4:15, the line was like, you know, there are about 50, 75 people in front of me. And you figure, you know, 4:30. First of all, when I arrived at 4:15, the theater was emptying out. And I think because there's a line, it really just seems to me, this is the negative way I was approaching it, because there was a line waiting, you know, these pimple-faced slackers that probably never clean the theater just take an extra long amount of time so that you wait from 4:15 to 4:45 to go into the cinema instead of when normally, you know, you just, as soon as the theater emptied out, you could wander in there. How many times have you gone to a movie like that where you just waltz in after the other patrons have left? But no, this was just a big deal where they had, like, ropes up and they had the traffic directors. And that door was swiveling in and out because it was real important. No, it's important because there's a line. That's why. And people do the power trip.
And I think a lot of it is that they're probably trying to catch people who didn't want to go through what you went through. They
right.
say, okay, I'm going to buy a ticket for a crappy movie
yep.
like The In-Laws,
mm-hmm.
and then you walk into
sure,
the
right.
kids' movie,
yeah.
and suddenly you're not dealing with all the crap.
But nobody checked my ticket until after, you know, my ticket is checked at the main thoroughfare, and then you go into the bowels of the theater, and you go to your right and your left, and you go down to that little strip, and you find your... And it just was exasperating. And then finally, at 4:45... The lady that gave me the heads up to get there at 4:15, and I thanked her for that, led us into the theater. And that's when you also realize the speed mm-hmm. at which people move, which is just insane. It's like getting onto an airplane. It's the same exact thing. For some reason, people just can't pick them up and put them down. They have to organize. And a lot of people, of course, had their stuff. And I was with my daughters, and we'd just come from lunch, so we didn't have any of the candy or anything. But everybody's got to gather up their stuff that we're required. I get the impression that when I'm in an environment like this, that there is some greater intelligence that exists that is grooming us to be food. I really feel as though that we are, all right, there they are, yes, oh, they're eating some nice popcorn. Those ones look pretty good. And at a certain point, like when we die or something like that, we're going to be sucked up into a spaceship and eaten. Because look at the way we're behaving. We're doing exactly what everybody else does. We are behaving, and I'm always very ill at ease when I feel as though I'm cattle. It makes me nervous. It makes me feel weird that I'm doing everything that everybody else is doing because I think something's up. Something bad's going to happen.
You're funny because I know you're going through this and you are relating your experiences.
Mm-hmm.
But what you are relating
yeah.
is what I think most people go through all the time.
Yeah, mm-hmm. exactly. Yeah.
Every day,
yeah,
whether it's at the grocery store, the bank.
Well, you see, but the fact is, I think you're absolutely right. It's just... I don't go to first-run films. Even with my daughters, I usually clear it with my ex. I say, hey, listen, I want to take them to this. I know it opens this weekend. Is it okay with you? And she takes them to some of the good stuff. But we usually wait a little while. And this was the first time where I really felt as though, all right, you're in this line. So we get into the theater. You know, I think it took us maybe... two or three minutes that seemed like 3 days to get in the theater. And we go right into the middle. I decided instead of being on the aisle, I would, you know, since I'm normally an aisle person.
Good move,
but
you don't want to get up all the time.
Yeah, as we move into the middle, this guy comes in with his kids, and there's a seat between Catherine and this. I said, is anybody taking this seat? And he said, no. And so I said, Catherine, let's move over, with the thinking that if there were single seats, you know, it'd be better and easier for people if you just moved over and you filled in the middle. And, you know, that was foolish because it didn't really matter in
right.
the long run. But then we get the kid talker. Now, what do you do with the kid talker? You're not going to yell at the kid talker. You're not going to discipline another person's kid.
How old was the kid?
I don't remember. I don't care. He's 20.
no, come on.
I don't know.
Yes,
he was.
Yes.
He was five or six, something like that. But he is.
Then you're effed.
Mm-hmm. Why, yeah, well, no.
Because you're in a kid's movie.
Well, gee, I happen to have one to my left who was silent throughout the entire film.
Yeah, but you're in a kid's movie, and there's
she was a little under the weather. But she's when she talks, she's like, Danny, I just want to.
But there's an unwritten rule when you're in a kid's movie, opening weekend of a kid's movie, mm-hmm. especially not PG-13, when it's just G.
Yeah.
The unwritten rule is anything goes.
Yeah.
That kid could have taken his shirt off.
Yeah, sure.
Gone number two.
And I guess the fact that there's a parent close by doing zip, if my daughter was speaking loudly, I would say, could you please be quiet? And I would, but no, that didn't happen,
no.
And here's the thing. Now, you can say anything goes, and you're absolutely right. And I'm going to talk about something that I guarantee you have never experienced in the film. You have never experienced this.
Go. What?
And it is the single most annoying thing that has ever happened to me in a theater, and this was a child that I couldn't get into a fist fight with because there was nothing I could do.
You
but
won.
Here's the deal. I purchased these products, and I'm calling on America to now boycott them because in a movie theater, they're insane. And what I'm talking about is the sneakers that have the little pad in them that when you stomp down, the electric light goes off at the bottom of the sneaker. Well, this kid had a fireworks display in his sneaker, and he was sitting there for the entire film, pounding down, and you were getting this in a darkened movie theater. Uh-huh. This is blinding light that's coming out of this, and this is the whole time. And, you know, this would be the attempt to stop. That's it. And the kid would just continue. So my movie-going experience, my kids didn't seem to notice this, but every time it went off, it was like laser beams in my eye. I was getting so frustrated, but you can't. I mean, if anybody ever tried to discipline my kids in a theater, it would be, I'd be nuts. And he couldn't do anything. And it settled down after a while. I think he got a little caught up in the storyline if he has that, attention span.
Well, if it makes you feel any better, here's how I would rationalize that. The lights in the shoes,
mm-hmm.
because you're going to feel bad either way for the kid.
Right.
Either it's welfare, mm-hmm. because lights and shoes are so 10 years ago.
No, this wasn't. This was not. This was quite the opposite. My observance would be quite the opposite. Dad didn't want to talk like that, but he was just tired.
If it's lights and shoes, though?
You know what he looked like? The dad looked like a sweater around the neck guy.
Mm. I would say the kid is probably retarded.
No. I don't think so. But you know what also happened during
this? I don't think kids today, though, go for that. That was like Reebok's big thing.
Well, little, and it was like bing, 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 bing.
Little after, kid, you know? After the pump, though.
I think they still have those products. They still have the lights and the shoes.
Mm.
They are passe. And, but they still exist.
I think it's a retard product.
He's
not retarded.
If you went into the closet, you'd probably find a couple of those sneakers still exist in our closet, too. That they still are there. You know, they're not that old.
I never went.
I know, as early as last year.
I personally never went for the lights and the shoes. No, I didn't. I bought all kinds of crazy tennis shoes.
Right.
But never
for
the lights.
For yourself? Light.
Yeah.
Well, I'm talking about for kids.
No, I never bought any of those for Bart.
These are children's shoes.
Yeah, I know, but they made them for adults, too.
They did?
Yeah.
Well, that's a retarded thing for
seriously,
everybody.
You really got to get out more.
But I do get out. I'm out constantly. I'm just out at night.
But,
you know. But no, I'm with my kids all the time. I do a million things with them now, and I'm all, before everything went south, I was out with them too. The thing is that the light, I've never sat next to one of these kids that has the fireworks display, and then in the middle of the movie, a thunderstorm came through, and the movie shut down.
Oh.
And so, I got up immediately because I was feeling a little claustrophobic, and I felt, I'm going to get my daughters out of here because you never know what kind of weather it's going to be, and I just want to see. I want to see what's, I don't want to be like all the other, all the other slaughtered chickens in there that are going to go, we're sitting in the theater when the tornado came through. How can we hear a tornado warning if we were sitting in the middle of the movie? Duh. Because we're sitting there. I didn't want to give up my seat. So I got my kids up right away, and we kind of zipped out. And, of course, as soon as we get down to the bottom step, I look out, and the movie has started back again. So I did a little quick check of the weather. I said, yeah, it's raining, but I think it's going to be okay. We zipped back in there, and we watched the movie. End of story. My day is fine. You know, at this point, the weight of the traffic that we deal with, and everybody deals with this mm-hmm. all over America, the weight of the traffic and the grocery stores being so long you can't even deal with them, and the movies.
It's, I think you're just catching up to where the rest of us live.
Well, I mean, I
You're catching up now to what we all go through every day.
You're probably right, because I lived in a rural area that has now been, you know, it's all basically diarrheaed itself out to where I live now. And you just have, you know, we've got a rural area that's got house, and everybody's doing the same thing at the same time.
Right.
Well, they build more of the things that we all do at the same time so that there's less crowd.
They do. There are theaters.
It's a conspiracy. We're food. We are going to be eaten by a superior being. Watch it. It's going to happen because, you know what? We're all doing these things at the same time. Mm-hmm. One of these days, like a giant alien hand is going to reach down and suck us all in.
You're
like,
all right.
We're going to be eaten like Cheetos.
Hello, Don and Mike show. Hello.
Hey.
Hey.
Don, Mike.
Yeah.
This is Nate from Fredericksburg. I'm listening to you guys. You're talking about the light-up shoes. Nemo.
Retard shoes.
Retard shoes. Yeah. My son's got a pair of the retard shoes that have Nemo on them.
Well, I'm sorry, your son's retarded.
Now, that's state of the art now.
Yeah.
Nemo is the hot thing.
It's all right. It's hot.
Hello, Don. I'm on
it show. Is a good movie, incidentally. Very good.
Hey, this is Bill.
Hey, Bill.
Hey, I just got two observations. First of all, like my grandmother used to have this old saying, when things don't go your way, she'd say, Bill, suck it up, you can't load. So,
is that what your message is to me? Is that what your message is to me? Suck it up. I'm just, what I think I'm doing here, sir. I think I'm just sharing the frustrations that everybody experiences around our area. Okay, and I don't want to suck it up today. I sucked it up on Saturday.
Right.
I sat in line for 2.5 hours to get the movie.
Okay. The other thing is that
good luck when you're eating.
That maybe is the best argument you've ever had.
Thank you.
It is great. Hey, the other thing is,
I know your grandmother, and you were a pant load.
I probably was.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, a couple weeks ago you highlighted Buzz's microphone.
Your grandma sucked it up.
Do you remember isolating Buzz's mic only?
Yeah.
Okay. And whenever I listen to you guys, I always hear Buzz's laugh now. I hear that little in the background, and it is terrific. I'm so glad you guys highlighted that. It's just fantastic because it just comes through loud and clear now.
And that reminds me, it's time for three more words.
Oh, dear.
Uh-huh.
Here we go. And let me see what we have written. We're doing story time for a trip to Myrtle Beach on Hooters Air.
I like the first word.
Go.
No.
Visible. Buzz, you don't have to end it. You can continue it if you like. No. Visible. Or you can end the sentence if you like.
I was going to... The first word that came to mind was growth.
And now it's taking a science fiction type look to it.
Oh, dear.
The next three words in your story are no visible growth. I know.
I know we can do it.
I had another word in mind after visible.
Mm-hmm. I'm sure. Tattoo.
Well, the tattoo is what the story's about.
Yeah, I understand, but we're starting another sentence here, so we have to establish the subject.
Well, we're going to have to do that very quickly, then.
I understand.
We have plenty of show left.
I'm sorry, I'm still a little worked up.
I know, don't worry. We got to break. I'm telling you, though, I do think what you're going through is what everybody goes through.
Well, I know that. I'm not trying to say that I'm special.
Sheltered.
That I can't. No, I have not.
Yes, you have.
No, I haven't. I've been sheltered from first run movies.
Because
I never go see them. No.
Because you live in the middle of nowhere.
No, what I
and now you're in the middle of nowhere. You're suddenly the middle of everywhere.
No, what I'm saying is I have not. I'm not. Let me calm down. I'm not sheltered. What I am is I don't choose to go where everybody else goes. I don't do that. I try to go in the opposite direction, and sometimes when that backfires,
don't whisper at me.
I get concerned.
I like your story.
Yeah, I get concerned. And just remember the day,
right, the alien,
the day it happens. Just remember that I was the first one to tell you that we are cheese that goes crunch.
I'll tell you. Not only am I with you, I'm going to take it a step further.
All right.
They're going to eat the retarded kids with the lights in their shoes first.
Yeah, because they're tastier.
Okay, see? I'm on your side.
I understand, Dave.
I'm there with you.
I understand.
And I'm not going to take the calls now that I know will piss you off that I see on the screen. No.
Take one.
He wants this.
You're not going to want it.
All right.
Pete.
Hey.
Hey.
Don and Mike, how you guys doing? Radio God.
Just say what you want to say. We got to fly.
All right. You know, I want to say two things real quick.
No, say what it says on the screen.
Okay. Well, you know what? I want to tell Mike that it's okay to smack kids that talk in the theater.
Wow. Who knew?
He didn't piss me off. He brought me joy.
See, now, on any other day.
Oh, he's not talking about my kids. He's talking about that kid with the lights on his shoes next to me.
The retarded kid.
We're not related.
Okay, we got a break. We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Hasn't tonight been great? Just us boys drinking beer, yelling like idiots, emitting various gases.
The Don and Mike Show. Your beacon of hope in a sea of mediocrity. The Don and Mike Show.
You know, this thing I got it from my wife.
Yeah, and she said she got it from Rob's wife.
Yeah, got it from Rob's kid. So we're just on the phone with her.
So it's Julia's fault, basically.
And, you know, the cycle goes all the way around because even Buzz is involved in this because the doctor that Frida went to see is the doctor that Marcia works at.
Right.
Marcia's office. So I'm just on the phone with my wife.
Yeah.
And I said, wow, I feel like crap. How long did you feel bad?
Mm-hmm.
And here's the thing with not only my wife, but any woman. They can't just give you the answer.
No, that's not an answer that a woman will answer quickly.
Yeah, you know, when I was...
How long have you felt poorly? Oh, well, there was that time that I...
You know, all I want to know is, okay, I'm really feeling bad today. I didn't feel so bad yesterday. I didn't feel so bad Saturday.
But you've had it since Saturday.
Yeah, but when did you really... Like, today would be the worst. When did you feel the worst? How many days did the worst last?
Yeah.
But all I got from her was a big convoluted, well, let me see.
Story.
It started, I think I started, now I didn't run on, you know, I didn't ask you when you ran on the treadmill. I asked, when did you feel bad? When did you start to feel better? And as it turns out, I guess the bottom line is, she still doesn't feel good.
Okay.
So, no. Who knows?
Great.
What do you mean, great?
I'm just thinking about me.
Yeah, your next problem.
Yeah, I'll get it. And then mine will, like, you know, last a long time.
Ah, you won't get it.
God, when do we get sick? I still have a little of that narcotic cough syrup. And what I'll do is I'll put it in a little wax bottle and I'll sell you a dose of it. You want to get sick?
You're selling snake oil.
Wonderful stuff.
You're selling snake oil.
Kids, three more words for the story to win the trip on Hooters Air to go to Myrtle Beach. We got to start winding this up pretty quick.
Yeah, all right, I want to go first.
All right, Mike, go ahead.
Ever.
Buzz.
Was?
Yep.
Thank you.
You're working it now, baby.
And present. Wrong?
We could have ended it there. I mean, it's up to you.
I'd like to continue it for one more break.
Okay, because if you can end it, you could say, lovelier.
Yeah?
I think I'm the writer of the group.
You may be the king.
Shameful. That's my word. Shameful.
Huh? That doesn't work.
No, ever was shameful.
Okay.
Ever was shameful.
Less or more shameful. But, yeah.
What was your word? I don't have the energy today.
Lovelier.
Lovelier.
Yeah, that's... I should have pulled back on it. Normally I would. I forget sometimes.
Here's all I ask. When I come, when it's reported that I have the first United States case of SARS, just remember me. Yeah. Remember that
it'll be a week-long tribute.
Remember at the very end that I was here.
Yeah, I understand.
With you guys.
I understand.
Okay, that's it. Call. Call right now. I've lost the will
to live.
That's the story, then.
To live.
That's it.
The end.
Call right now. Be the 100th caller.
And if you know that, you're going to win. Call now, Phone Jeopardy.
Why the F are we giving these numbers out? They know the effing number.
How are they going to lose it? It's all in the same team.
Take two. Phone Jeopardy.
F you.
And them, too.
Yeah. I apologize. I didn't. I came to work with this family thing on my mind.
You actually started out, and then when you get done with your thing, you were gone.
Yeah. My voice is just... And, I'm hoping to be here tomorrow.
Yeah.
I'm hoping to wake up alive tomorrow.
You're an optimist.
I'm hoping to be here tomorrow. I really am.
And I hope it doesn't rain tomorrow.
That's just crazy talk.
I'm sorry. You know, it's all about me.
I know it is.
It really is. And I really apologize to all my coworkers because really of late it's been all about me and it's summer.
But somehow the bitterness makes you funnier.
I know. You know what they call me on my buddy's boat?
What?
Hater.
Wow.
Really? That's saying something. Because you know the way I am about the movies and stuff? I'm like that all the time.
They call you the hater?
Yeah. Yeah. And I
should come visit.
I don't hate the way you hate. You know, I hate everybody.
Why? You know what? No, there's got to be some orderation.
Well, the thing is,
whether you know it or not.
I told my ex this while we were waiting in the waiting room today, and it's like a light bulb went off. Yes, that's it. That's it. They call me the hater. That's it. This moment she had crystallized it for her.
Of course, that's what it's always been. Well, let me tell you this. It helps me when I hate, really, to prioritize. And you must figure, and with
no,
you...
No, get out of here. Get away.
What you need?
You're evil. You're bad, you.
Mike, hold on. You're the hater.
I understand.
You're the hater.
Yeah, but I know where you don't know, but it's different.
No, I'm not going to tell you to hate like me. I'm just going to say to you some of my strategies.
I could never hate like you.
What you need to do is you need to categorize.
Yeah, I could.
Yes, you could.
I know.
Anyone can. Yeah.
All you need is a robe.
No, stop it.
Oh, my God.
Call now, phone Jeopardy.
Ugly.
Jesus Christ. Just remember this.
Yes.
That if I'm sick tomorrow, it's a day off with pay for you.
Well, yeah, I gave up that ambition a long time ago. So, about the first 3 years into it, I was looking to get your job, but then I just stopped.
Yeah.
And don't none of this foolishness where, you know, you go, well, it's a fine show when Mike's here alone. We're all done with that in this contract, okay? Thank you. Thanks a lot. There, I've weighed in on that one. Okay?
If you have some time
the
tomorrow...
The ambition train has left the station.
If you have time tomorrow, what you really need to do is categorize things you hate.
Yeah, I will.
And then you can, spend set some amount of time with each topic.
Rob, should it be things or people?
With him, it's going to be things. With me, it's people.
Yeah, the things, too, I hate.
Yeah.
Minivans.
Things and people.
Minivans. You know how he feels about strollers?
Yeah.
That's the way I feel about minivans.
Why?
They ought to be taken off the road.
Granite countertops?
I like granite countertops. I use that.
Bring it up an awful lot.
I know, but it's
symbolism.
It's my symbolism, as I discussed, everyone's pursuing granite countertops, the best countertop you can have in a house, and people all pursue that, and it's what it's all about in suburbia.
How about people that wake up on a Saturday and have to go to Home Depot shopping for countertops?
They should all be killed.
That's right. You see, that's good.
Thank you very much.
That's good. What you
and if they go in a minivan, get it done before they get to the depot.
Just blow up the minivan?
Right, absolutely.
Like the car in The Godfather.
We're all going to be eaten.
Especially the retarded kids would like their
shoes. Stop it.
Why is it okay for you to say all of that, and I say
because
retarded kids with lights in their shoes, and suddenly
because I feel bad for the retarded kids with the shoes.
No.
If they're all wearing those light shoes.
No.
I feel that we should help them.
You hate that
help
kid.
Them. No, I don't. Well,
hated that kid yesterday.
No. If he had been challenged, I would not have hated him. Not a bit. No, not a chance. No.
Liar.
No. Well, maybe a little bit. I don't know.
No, yeah. And when that big thing comes down from the sky that you're predicting...
They're going first.
The retards are like veal.
Oh, my God. Stop.
The retards are going to be the caviar.
Flashing shoes will draw
attention.
Really
no good can come of this discussion.
No. What's going to do? We have a wonderful appetizer, some purified retard.
So you're saying the okay, all right. That's I'm not going to go any further with this.
The alien's going to come down and go.
This foolishness.
Mm, this is an exciting race of people. Say, oh, that's good retard.
Oh, stop it! God, you're driving me nuts.
I especially like the ones wearing the lit shoes.
Okay. I'm sorry I brought it up.
Give me that tard.
No.
Butter.
No.
Give me some barbecue sauce for my tard.
Who's next, then?
I thought you were a hater.
Who's next? No, I'm not. Perhaps I'm not. Perhaps I don't have the same zeal.
See, you just have a soft spot for
people that are less fortunate than I am. Yes, yes, I do. Yeah, that. But that don't let.
But you're retarded.
Don't let the.
So am I.
I suppose you're right.
I know who will go after.
We all are.
We are. Degree. We are certainly socially retarded.
Amen.
Yeah, like a focus group we are.
Look at him run to the microphone during these discussions.
You know who's going to go after them,
passionate.
You know who will go next?
Who?
The young and toothless.
Okay.
It's true, because if you don't have the good sense to take care of
young,
your teeth.
The young and toothless? Like
no, not
people
like,
that should have their adult teeth?
Exactly. Like,
very good.
Not like toddlers like that, but if you're like, you know, 25 and you've let your teeth go already.
You know, there's a producer's opening for the real Beverly Hillbillies.
Mike, listen, I think one thing that's happened in today's show.
Mm-hmm.
We've both had a breakthrough.
Yeah.
I had a breakthrough
right.
about this whole thing with my family.
Mm-hmm.
And you've had a breakthrough.
To know that I'm retarded.
No. Mm-hmm. You're like us.
No, I'm not.
You're a hater.
Yeah, well, I am.
It's okay.
No, you know, I am. I'm,
embrace it.
I am a hater.
Embrace the dark
hug.
Side.
I hate everybody. No. Not a chance.
Come on, how about a hug?
Both, you're scaring me now,
come
okay?
On, yeah.
Stop it!
You're a hater. You're a hater.
That's what they call me.
The hater.
And you guys know that I can hate with the best of them.
Yeah, and you know what?
But I hate
something.
But I really, I think it's very
that is
very important to make
that
a
is,
distinction here.
That is the queer duality of Mike.
And you know what? And here's something that everybody in our audience should know.
Mm.
We hate everybody.
We do.
And I think really you hear a lot of jokes on this show. I think it's important to point out we hate everybody.
And but here's the queer duality of Mike.
Mm-hmm.
That one day during a commercial break. Rob and I will be hating on somebody. And Mike will, from the other part of the room,
mm-hmm.
laugh.
Mm-hmm.
Perhaps even join in.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Occasionally lead.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Next day, same topic,
mm-hmm.
same hating.
Mm-hmm.
He'll say, hey, guys, what's wrong with you two?
Well, you know, usually that's, you know, that's normally falls to this guy. Give it a rest. That's how that normally goes.
See what you're doing.
Sometimes I have to tell you,
you are
I
just,
find it
you're
exhausting.
Suppressing. No, don't, Mike. you don't find that exhausting.
He doesn't seem exhausted now.
I got a ice cream headache now.
Oh, dear.
Oh, God.
Rob, you know what?
What?
He is one of us.
Oh,
I've known it. I've known it all along. You are one of us.
Welcome.
Come on, Mike.
Yeah,
Buzz.
He's in under there. I see it. I witness it.
I know Buzz is watching.
Yeah. No, he doesn't seem to be bothered by it at all.
Buzz, you see with the transformation of the mic.
Oh,
I did.
Sometimes it's
Jekyll
fun.
And Hyde. It's like Jekyll and Hyde.
Sometimes it's fun.
This is nonverbal.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But you just saw
right.
mm-hmm. what Mike was doing.
Yeah, sometimes fun with hate. Yes.
Same thing that Rob and I were doing.
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
now,
okay.
Now, I guarantee you this is going to come sometime in the next few weeks
mm-hmm.
when I had an opportune moment.
Right.
One of us will
mm-hmm.
do this. And during the commercial, Mike will say to me, hey, you guys.
Hey, back off.
On enough.
Please.
Enough.
And then you'll say, hey. Yeah, and then you'll show me my membership card.
And today it happens to be the Tards.
And the people yeah. hating. Oh, I hate
all
that.
Right.
All right.
Come on, they don't understand
no,
it.
No, stop it. All right, please.
Oh,
stop.
They got
my how time flies. You know, when you're sick, that time goes pretty quick.
Especially when I take the first hour talking about how effed up my life is.
Yeah, and you know, not a bad plan, actually, as far as I'm concerned.
Let's get a call at 100 to see if we can give away this trip.
Yeah. Very good.
And we all have the, if you've been listening to the whole show today, oh, God, do we thank you, because the first hour was just totally messed up with my awful life.
No, it was interesting.
Here we go, caller 100. Hello, Don and Mike Show. Hello.
Hello, speak to us.
Yes.
Yes, you're on the air.
Come on, dial it in. Hello, who's this?
Yes, this is Tony.
Come on, Mike, there you go. That's the hater you need.
Come on,
out.
Damn it.
Listen, yes. have you been listening to the whole show?
Yes, I have.
Do you have the whole story?
I do in front of me.
Okay, here's how we're going to do it.
Where are you from, Tony?
I'm from Reston.
Very slowly, word by word, after you say every word, you're going to hear...
Where are you from originally?
The ding.
Originally, I'm from Wales.
Wales?
Wow.
Ah, Wales, that's why it's Sean Connery's territory.
Okay, so the
story... Where's Scotland?
The story starts
Marsha's tattoo is? Give me one word at a time. Go.
Sensual. And alluring. But located near her. Careless. Sanctuary. And
yeah.
Place of innermost passionate love.
What a great guy to read this story.
Yeah.
Okay.
No, there's more.
No.
No. Right.
Visible. Growth. Was. Ever. Was. Lovelier.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah, congratulations. Yep.
You got it.
Thank you very much.
Had a little stump between 19 and 20, but you rearranged them. You got it right.
My friend.
Yeah, okay.
You have won a trip for two to Myrtle Beach with a 2-night, 3-day stay at Ocean Creek Resort, courtesy of Hooters Air, with Hooters girls on every flight. Call 1-888-FLY-HOOT. Hooters Air flights are public charters operated by Pace Airlines.
Ah, so the Hooters girls are not flying the plane.
See, to our participant for full terms and conditions of travel, enjoy yourself.
What's that button do?
Enjoy.
Well, that's fantastic. That's great.
Thank you very much.
Okay.
Hold on. Hey, nice queen you got.
Nice queen ye got.
You know, she doesn't really have any authority. Hello?
Yes, I'm here.
Right, you know the queen. She's just a figure.
Oh, okay.
And Prince Charles is the prince of...
darkness.
Good answer. Darkness.
Pretty good.
That's good.
Hold on a second, my friend.
Oh, okay, thanks.
He's not bad for one of them.
Mm-hmm.
And now,
I agree.
Let's go to Buzz.
In a world where owning a radio was strictly forbidden, one man found a way to bring good news to his people.
There he is, Buzz.
Me. He made it up.
Hey, are you still there? You, the winner, are you still there?
I think they're taking his information.
No, I haven't put him on hold yet. Oh, there he is. Hey, are you still there?
Yeah, I'm still here.
Yeah, the queen is a lousy lay.
Oh?
I know that.
Good for you.
He's on the
impossible to face.
He's unflappable. He's from over there, you know.
You must be very proud.
Wow, he is a good winner.
Yeah. He's funny.
Who would have thought that?
Prince of Darkness.
Buzz.
Yes.
Hold on, my friend. Good job. Buzz, what is your lead story on your new show today?
Today, the biggest tour of the summer, maybe the Oprah tour.
The Oprah tour. Oh, Rob, you know what sound effects we need. Stay tuned. Tour of the bathrooms?
No, a nationwide tour.
Stay tuned.
Stay tuned. Stay for tuned. News and comments.
News and comments. Coming up
on the Don and Mike Show.
Don, I see you hate Oprah, don't you?
No.
Yeah. Come on. That was very
professional.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
What's the word from Planet Crackpot?
The Don and Mike Show.
It sure beats a pickaxe in the gonads. The Don and Mike Show.
Time for Buzz's new show now. Buzz brought to you tonight by Veramax. Veramax. Sexual pleasure and performance enhancer.
Someone called for a doctor?
It was me. It's clinically tested. Veramax works. Get it at right
age. He needs a doctor.
Yeah,
right.
I think so.
Yeah, except... You know, whatever I got
uh-huh.
is what my wife had.
Right.
And she went to the doctor, and I know this is what you're not supposed to do.
Yeah.
Your doctor gave my wife some stuff.
Right.
And that even though it says don't give it to somebody else.
I know you're taking it.
I'm taking it.
I know. Yeah. You shouldn't do that.
Well, it's just stuff to dry up your nasal stuff.
Yeah, but it's the way when it comes in the pink bottle, it's for ladies only.
It's clinically tested. Veramax works.
In the morning, your throat's going to be dry and your nasal passages will be clear and you will have breasts.
Beautiful breasts.
And a vagina. Rite Aid, GNC, other select retailers, try it today. Veramax, 1-888, try VMAX. Now here's Buzz. Hi, Buzz.
Hi, Don and Mike. One of the biggest tours of the summer does not involve rock and roll. It involves Oprah. She's traveling the country with her Live Your Best Life tour.
I believe we have a quote from Oprah. In case you're wondering, Oprah said,
She's also telling people, because you were born, you matter.
Listen, Oprah?
See?
You know, what I like is just the real quick sound bite.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And, you know, if you listen to that carefully, that quick sound bite is not all that quick, because there's a little trail off, moisture trail off there.
Oh, dear.
Yeah. You're hearing there is just, it's an entire sentence, uh-huh. And we're just taking the first word.
Here you go.
Oprah?
Oh, that one was sort of backwards.
There she go. Yeah.
Oh, there you go.
I like that.
For $185 on the Oprah tour, you get a two-hour presentation from Oprah.
I think wait, $185 for the ticket?
For the yes, for the ticket.
No. Well, no.
Oh, but Mike, look what you get for your money.
Don't be a hater, Mike.
I'm sorry.
Come on, calm down.
Hey.
You get a two-hour presentation.
I have to give credit. My friend Box gave me that name.
The hater.
The hater.
Hi. You also get 3 hours of what's described as personal contact.
With Here you go.
Hey, now we're talking.
That's pretty personal.
Ooh, hello. You also get lunch and a gift bag.
Hold on. Here's lunch.
Ooh, that looks good. Please pass the biscuits, please.
You can... Here they come.
Do you want honey on yours?
It comes with honey.
Are you all right?
Mmm. Oprah? Can I have a little butter, please?
Thank you.
A little more.
There you go. There we are.
And you know this hot dog is great. How about some ketchup?
Oh, look what you did. Look what you did. This is not the best ketchup I've ever tasted.
Finally, some brown mustard. You know, there are some people who think this is all we do on the show.
I know. Well, no, it's not all we do. It's what we really love doing.
We could do it all the time.
We could do it all the time. I'd never stop laughing. I don't care if people call me unsophisticated.
Hater.
Funny, I'm the hater.
Oh! Oprah.
Now, you get all these things for your $185 if you can get a ticket. You may have to go to eBay, where Oprah tour tickets can cost up to $1,000 each.
How many are they selling for each show?
Well, in the case of Seattle, where she just was, there were 2,700 people in the audience, most of them, shocker, women.
Wow.
As a matter of fact.
That's a good speech.
Quotes from the people in attendance include, "We love Oprah, and we want to learn how to live our best life."
Uh-huh.
With Seattle and St. Louis under her belt, Oprah's now off to Tampa.
You said under her belt.
I did. She's now off to Tampa and Philadelphia.
Could I have a little relish, Oprah? A little relish, please.
More than a little.
No, I need a little more than that.
Please, Oprah?
No, don't skip me with... Yep.
Well, now you're getting too much.
Oh, now it's outside of the bun.
Rough mathematics, the gate for that was $156,500.
Yeah, she needs the money.
She does.
Not bad.
I need some tartar sauce.
Oh, that's going to be hard to get.
Oprah?
Dig deep.
Hold on.
Hey, leave some for the rest.
There's a finger in there.
Barbara Streisand is...
You keep the same sound effect.
She's not well either.
Barbara Streisand is suing the photographer who took aerial shots of her home for a website that keeps track of the erosion along California's coast.
Hey, what's Miss Streisand doing down there? Huh? What's she doing down there?
Oh, no. All over James Brolin.
And even though she talks a good environmental game, Barbara Streisand wants $10 million from this amateur photographer. She says he violated the state's paparazzi laws. No people can be seen in the photo, but Streisand says the website offers the amazingly clear photograph for sale and that it could show a stalker the best ways to get into her property.
Jesus, she should pray that anybody wants to get into her property these days.
That's right.
She should pray anybody wants to get into her pants.
The map will show James Brolin how to get out. The FCC got swamped with calls and emails on Friday. More than 500,000 people have written the FCC asking it not to do what it's doing.
Of course it's doing it. Let me, Let me just say something here.
Okay.
Why do you think, and I think I mentioned this last week, but it bears repeating now because the story is going to be in everybody's newspaper and on TV news.
Yes, it will.
Why do you think Infinity gave Rumsfeld an hour of national radio last week when the war in Iraq, despite what they say, for all practical purposes, is over?
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know why they did?
Why?
Because they're sucking the teeth of the Republican Party. Because they want the ownership rules tossed out the window. So that Infinity, if they want to, can own 20 TV stations in one market.
Exactly.
And 20 radio stations in one market. That's what it's all about, Buzz.
Exactly. The FCC is embracing a Republican idea that would let fewer people own more TV stations. This puts the business of shaping public opinion into just a very few, very powerful hands.
And now I'm not opposed to this. Mm-hmm. However, here's the thing where I am opposed to it.
Okay.
Let's say that Infinity gets to buy, I don't know, another 1,000 stations. Do you think that's going to help Mike and me get cleared on any other stations in any other new market?
I don't think so.
You'll get 3 or 4.
I don't think so.
I don't think
hey,
so.
Hey, what happened?
So, from that standpoint, what the F?
This means your town's only newspaper would be able to own, say, your town's most watched TV station. Companies that own a lot of stations can now own a lot more. The FCC plan has put members of the National Rifle Association and the National Organization for Women fighting alongside each other against media giants like Disney and Fox.
Lisa, you are on the air. You know, really, though, in a capitalist society, it's about, you know, the people that have the money to buy it, and why not?
The free marketplace.
I mean, I don't think they're going to shape public opinion. It's not that kind of, I don't think it's going to be that evil. I think it's more, what people should understand about these guys that run these things, and
we should trust Rupert Murdoch and Michael Eisner.
Well, you know what? I don't think
you have to put Mr. Karmazin in that.
No, I don't.
You know, you could probably put an exception to the rule with Rupert Murdoch because he's got such a strong editorial point of view.
Yes.
But I don't put Eisner in that category, and I don't put a lot of the other moguls in that category. Where they're out, this is a money-making enterprise, and that's what it's all about.
And frankly, Buzz, I like Fox attitude.
Yeah. Well, who doesn't? That's what made them what they are today.
I mean, I was reading something about how the networks are all bending over for the Olympics.
Mm-hmm.
Well, now, first off, have any of these networks figured out that, generally speaking, we as Americans don't care? I mean, when they come on now, especially from other time zones, we don't care. But the point is, now they're all making the pitch, and it's because they're all so huge. Mm-hmm. ABC says, not only do we have ABC, we've got ESPN, we've got the Disney Channel.
Right. Mm-hmm.
CBS says, not only do we have CBS, we got MTV, we got VH1. I'm sorry, I'm sick. I totally forgot the point of this.
You were talking about how networks like ABC own a lot of properties they can offer
like the
Olympics.
So, when it comes to Fox, here was their pitch.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we've got Fox. We got Fox News Channel.
Right.
We got FX.
Right.
We got Fox Attitude.
Right.
Fox Attitude.
That was the last part. Everybody else came out with these gigantic presentations.
Kind of like what they said to us when they were trying to get us to come work for them for nothing.
Yeah. But it's Fox Attitude.
Do you think Fox Attitude can help the Olympics, though? I mean, the Olympics is a pretty far gone piece of material.
But doesn't the Olympics do well? That's why they all bid on it, because the Olympics does well in the ratings, doesn't it?
Not really.
Not so much anymore.
But they sell a lot of advertising in it.
Yeah, but it's not the draw that it used to be.
I just love the figure skating.
I know you do.
I really do. And if Fox can tell me that they will send Steve Doocy down on the luge, I wish them all the power in the world.
We're there. If you thought Arnold Schwarzenegger running for governor... Arnold Schwarzenegger running for governor...
What'd you say? Arnold?
Can we get a buzz repeat? Is there any chance to get a buzz repeat so we can hear Buzz say Arnold?
Would you like that with phlegm?
Hold on, here we go.
Just sounded a little odd.
Number two, Robbie?
Arnold.
Just play along.
You know, and I owed you, but I gave you that one on the story.
Yeah, I know, yeah. I mean, just in general, just play along. Arnold Schwarzenegger running for governor...
Back it up a little bit, please.
And wish them all the power in the world.
We're there. If you thought Arnold Schwarzenegger...
Arnold.
Or Buzz. You know what?
Arnold, I think it was.
You and I sit here and F up
All the time.
Everything, all the time.
I know.
Buzz, welcome to the world of the microscope.
Yeah, yes. Very good. Yes.
You're under the microscope.
Mm-hmm.
Can we hear it again, Rob?
That said,
I wish them all the power in the world.
We're there.
If you thought Arnold Schwarzenegger running
Arnold, I like that so much I may keep it.
Buzz's boner. Brought to you by Miramax.
Let's do that.
Save it right there.
Okay.
We got a
okay, story about Arnold coming up.
Okay, we'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Gosh, I hate to interrupt. It's all been so incredibly fascinating and entertaining and instructive. Really, the time has just flown by.
The Don and Mike Show.
They have more than enough hair down there. Don and Mike.
Now here on once again is Buzz. Hi, Buzz.
Hi, Don and Mike. Well, if you thought my pronunciation or Arnold Schwarzenegger running for governor of California would make for good comedy fodder, just wait.
Oh, yeah.
In a lighthearted questionnaire in Vanity Fair magazine, Arnold was asked about his greatest fear. Quoting him, "I am petrified of bikini waxing. I had a very bad experience in 1978.
Yay! He's terrified of the multiplication tables.
When reminded that his body was once described as looking like a condom full of walnuts, Arnold was asked what he dislikes most about his body. Quoting him, let's just say Milton Berle had the same exact problem.
Right, because he's got such a big schlong.
Right.
Oh, man.
When asked what trait Arnold most dislikes in others,
you know,
what a pompous ass.
He's hard to hate, though. And Mike, welcome to the club. Mike's an official member of the haters now.
Yeah.
But he's hard to hate because he's so dumb.
He's so goofy, and what person in our line of work or anybody in a related field doesn't want him to run for governor?
And the thing is, here's what's really great about him. And I was watching something on VH1 about the Cannes Film Festival.
Mm-hmm.
He's dumb, but he thinks he's smart.
Which is the best kind of dumb.
Yeah, yeah, it's fantastic.
Absolutely.
He's being interviewed on the red carpet,
right.
And they're saying to him, do some of your phrases. And he goes, looks around the camera, I'll be back. You know, he's just...
Doesn't get it.
You know, other guys would come down the carpet and...
He's got the wonderful combination of Jerry Lewis's ego, and he's got the delusion of anybody that would think that they were better than they are,
yeah.
And he's dumb. I mean, it's great.
He needs to have tennis shoes with lights on them.
Absolutely.
And there's no doubt he'll win out there. The more I think about it, he's got a cakewalk.
Oh, you mean running for governor?
Yeah.
Hey, I'm ready to make a bet.
Yay! That Arnold will
I have faith
win.
In the people of California.
Oh. Remember, they voted for Reagan.
Yeah, that's right. They did vote for Reagan.
I mean, he turned out to be okay when he was president, but back then...
Well, I just... All I want
to do... He was just a guy that made a movie with a monkey.
I will pay people to send me tapes of the debates.
Oh, yes, please.
Oh, God. Yay! Well, you know...
Because maybe it's like a live thing just for California. Yeah. I want to see those debates.
But he'll be able to do all this stuff again. Like, even when he's serious, he'll be able to win people over by just saying,
right.
I'll be back.
Yeah, he'll give a catchphrase, like, you know, more money in the pocket.
A little charm.
And that's all there. He's the money in the pocket for the people that are going to, you know, vote for me.
Hasta la vista.
Jeez, I hate this body part. It's so big. Just like Milton Berle, I have to strap it down with the belt.
When asked what trait he most dislikes in others, Arnold replied, people who speak with a heavy American accent.
Well, see, now there he is.
Now he's pretty That ain't bad.
I think all of these were the work of comedy writers.
Yeah, that's probably true.
For the purpose of the magazine, and he's running for governor.
And the point is, when I was bringing up, he was on the red carpet, and he did, you know, I'll be back.
Right. Santana.
Here's where he's dumb. A lot of people come down the red carpet, and of course they're accommodating to the press. The thing is, they're kind of goofing on him
right.
while they're doing it. And he takes it so seriously.
And he gives it to him all the way. Like, boy, this will really cement my reputation as a great actor.
That's exactly it.
Right.
And he's...
I'll be back. You're welcome. Thank you. And he moves on.
Yeah. And that's why he's going to be elected.
But if he is, I hope he gets elected because we'll be able to have him doing it. And, you know, more in the national office.
Yeah.
Senator Schwarzenegger.
Last week we told you about the $1 million deal that Ben Affleck signed to promote hair care products for L'Oreal.
Hey, it's the idiot news.
This week we're telling you that the people who put him in movies are not happy about this deal. MSNBC says movie executives are definitely less than thrilled that their hunky star is now plugging beauty products. For now, the ads will only be seen overseas, but the fact that he's doing it is getting a lot of play in this country.
Ladies and gentlemen, introducing Pee Whipped, a new fragrance from L'Oreal. Here's Ben Affleck.
This is what I don't get. Like, they're saying, well, it's okay to run the ads overseas. I know we've talked about this before, but you know how many of our big movie stars do ads for Japan?
Cigarettes.
Yet it's beneath them to do the same ads in the United States.
Right.
It's all about the money.
Well, quoting the executives again, it's a problem. What was he thinking? Do a car ad or a beer ad, but could you imagine Harrison Ford looking into a camera and saying, it may cost more, but I'm worth it.
Oh, God.
And for years, Harrison Ford says he thought he already had a star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame. Turns out that plaque was for a silent film star of the same name who died in 1957. Friday, the new Harrison Ford got his own shiny new star on the sidewalk.
You know what? Harrison Ford is an okay guy. And I believe that Harrison Ford is the kind of guy that probably didn't even notice it. You know, that strikes me as I know people that have met him. And I know he parties and he flies his plane to, like, strip joints and stuff. But I think, really, if you meet him, he's kind of a down-to-earth guy.
His star, really, the piece of cement, is a better actor than he is.
So I'm not talking about his acting ability. I'm talking about him as just a person. He was really nice to my family when they shot a movie in their, like, neighborhood. And it was, and I always remember that about him. And he strikes me as the kind of guy that would really, really say that. You hate this now because I'm not being a hater, am I?
No, it's fine. You can like him. I like Harrison Ford,
right,
generally speaking, as well. I just don't think he's incredibly gifted or talented. I do like it when he goes on talk shows and he appears drunk.
Right.
Yeah, it's just like low-key. I really get the impression he doesn't give a rat's ass about a lot of this stuff.
I think that's it.
My problem with his new movie is that it is so goddamn cookie-cutter, so goddamn already been done 1,000 times before.
Yep.
He's an older cop with Josh Hartnett, who's the young up-and-comer.
Right.
And he's going to show him the way things are done. But surprise, halfway through the movie, Harrison Ford figures out that the new kid really has got some pretty good ideas.
Right.
And then it's a shock factor when Harrison Ford does crazy things like drop the S-bomb or starts dancing to hip-hop music.
Are they marketing this week as a comedy or an action film? Because they seem to be going back and forth for that movie.
I don't know.
I mean, there was the first thing that was all action, and then there was another trailer like a week ago that was all comedy. I don't think they know what this movie is.
And you talk about cookie cutter. He's planning on making a fourth Indiana Jones movie with Steven Spielberg.
He's too old, and Sean Connery already played his dad.
Well, you could probably bring him in as the dad and another younger upstart.
Yeah, but Spielberg would
like Josh Hartnett.
Josh Hartnett, or maybe Colin Farrell.
Spielberg would disagree, quoting him, like the car that bears his name, Ford has stood the test of time.
That was Spielberg said?
Yeah, that's what he said.
He's keeping track. Another one.
Yeah, I hate him, too.
Indiana Jones and the Temple of Incontinence.
If you're keeping track, by the way, Harrison Ford's still with Calista Flockhart.
Oh, my God.
Now you tell me he doesn't wear those shoes with the lights in them.
What does he say at dinner? You going to eat that?
In sports.
When he bones her.
Yeah.
He really bones her.
Oh. He also says the same thing he says at dinner. You going to eat that? What a thing.
NFL veteran running back Lamar Smith has signed with the Green Bay Packers.
He never did anything for me.
He led the Panthers last year with 7 touchdowns and over 700 rushing yards, but he was released after a drunken driving arrest. Giants defensive tackle Keith Hamilton has apologized for embarrassing his team with his arrest last month for cocaine and marijuana possession.
I'll drink of that.
Nothing more embarrassing than his brother did on ice a lot of times.
Who's his brother?
Scott
Hamilton.
Finally.
That's a triple lux.
Now,
what is not it's not a triple lux. It's a
triple lux and a double axle.
And a super anus.
And a sow cow.
And a four anus.
Finally.
Scott Hamilton, I call this one the red anus.
Yes, it is. The red anus sow cow.
The angry anus.
Oh, that's it. And he landed it. Now you can buy your
right
way.
Right on dick button.
You can now buy your way into the Mile High Club in Santiago, Chile. One whorehouse is offering flights over the capital hosted by two beautiful young women. For $500, you get an hour and a half session in the air.
She was a whore.
Quoting the manager, the standard service is for a gentleman accompanied by two of our girls, but we can also accommodate a group session. The flight attendants are multilingual and between 18 and 26 years old. I'm Buzz Burbank on the Don and Mike Show.
Buzz, what's
that? No!
They serve crabs.
Hope not.
Crabs are extra. That's it. We got to go. See you tomorrow. Maybe. Hope so. God damn.
Feel better.
Hope so. Good try. Good day to you, sir.
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 Hey, Rusty.
I'll see you at choir practice.
Oh, you being a hater?
Good day to you, sir. A little Harrison Ford there.
Oh, Harrison Ford.
Good day to you, Mr. President.
Now, what's the line?
How dare you, Mr. President?
That's
excellent.
All right, Rusty.
Sing with me. BM.
Peter Tim.
Till we meet again. This is Sammy Davis Jr. saying, be kind, be nice, and I hope the next performer has the pleasure of having as nice an audience as you've been tonight. And let me leave you swinging.